Hare Krishna. Not many are seen what's happening. Kare Bhaktagan. So finally we are having Canto 6 over you now. To effectively utilize our time till next Monday. So we have one more chapter left, the last chapter, 19th chapter. So we will cover it at the end of the overview. So within whatever time is left. So yeah, 6th canto has mainly these many chapters, 19 chapters. Out of these 19 chapters, the first three chapters are speaking about the episode of Ajamil. Ajamil episode came up because Parikshit Maharaj asked a question to Sukadeva Goswami. How to save all the conditioned souls from hellish planets? So in response to that, Sukadeva Goswami narrates the story of Ajamil, who chanted Narayana when he was about to die. Although he was calling his son, all the Yamadutas came to pick him up because he was considered a sinful soul. But because he chanted Narayana, Vishnudutas came to protect him. So there was a big conversation between Yamadutas and Vishnudutas. And finally, Vishnudutas protect Ajamil from Yamadutas. And Yamadutas go and report to Yamaraj. And Yamaraj also glorifies the process of chanting holy names and gives instructions to Yamadutas. Okay, whom to bring, whom not to bring. That is there in the first three chapters. And the next three chapters, 4, 5, and 6, describe the story of Daksha. So how Daksha was born of Prachetas, 10 Prachetas and Marisha. And then he goes and performs austerities for the pleasure of Vishnu. And then he chants Hamsaguhya prayers, and Vishnu appears in front of him and then gives him benediction. Okay, your sons also will become, your children also will procreate, being captivated by Maya. So taking that instruction, our Daksha goes back, and then he gives birth to 10,000 sons. They are converted into renunciants by Narada Muni. Again, 1,000 sons, they are also converted into renunciants by Narada Muni. Then he gives birth to 60 daughters. So their descendants are described till 6th chapter. Now while describing the descendants descendants of the daughters of Daksha, the name of Tvashta comes, and then whose son Vishwarupa became the spiritual master of demigods, and Parikshit Maharaj asks, what is that story? Then our Sukadeva Goswami narrates the story where Indra was sitting in his assembly with all the demigods, and Brihaspati entered there, and he was not received properly. Because of that offense committed to Brihaspati, all the demigods lost their opulence. They were defeated by demons, and then they went to Brahmaji. And as a solution, Brahmaji told them, you go and approach Vishwarup and then accept him as your guru. He will help you with Narayan Kavach, and then he will help you get your opulences back. So Vishwarup teaches Narayan Kavach to Indra and the demigods, especially Indra. Then Indra regains his powers. Radhesham Prabhu, Sujit Prabhu. So those incidents were described in the 7th and 8th chapters. Then, because Vishwarupa was also offering oblations to demons, because he was connected to the demons from mother's side, Indra became angry and beheaded Vishwarupa. Then, Tvashta performed a sacrifice to kill Indra. And from that sacrifice came Vritrasura. And Vritrasura came and demigods attacked Vritrasura. And then there was a big fight. And demigods were being defeated. And all of them went to Lord Vishnu and offered their prayers. And Vishnu told, you go to Dadichi Muni and then he will help you by offering his body. From his bones, Vishwakarma can make a thunderbolt. And with that, you will be able to kill Vritrasura. So that's how they do. And Indra finally kills Vritrasura. But this Brahmahatya is chasing Indra, and then Indra goes and hides in the lotus stem, okay, in Manasarovar. And after thousands of years, Indra is purified of his sin, and then he goes back to heavenly planets and rules. Then in the 14th chapter, 14, 15, 16, 17, these four chapters describe the story of Chitraketu. So how Chitraketu was lamenting for his son. Actually, Parikshit Maharaj asks, how did Vritrasura have such devotional qualities even on the battlefield? Answer is, in his previous life, he was a great devotee, Chitraketu. So initially, he was lamenting for a son. Then Angira comes, gives him a son. Then the son dies untimely because of the envy of the queens. Then Chitraketu was lamenting. At that time, Angira and Narada comes and instructs Chitraketu. And the dead son also becomes alive by the yogic power of Narada Muni. And then he also speaks some things. So Chitraketu is philosophically enlightened. He takes mantra from Narada Muni and then he chants it for 7 days. He sees Lord Sankarshan and then he offers prayers. And he was traveling as the king of Vidyadhara planet. And while traveling, he sees Shiva and Parvati. And then he laughs loudly at Shiva and kind of criticizes Shiva. And Parvati curses him and he becomes Chitraketu. So, after this episode, Parikshit Maharaj, Sukadeva Goswami again continues with the descendants of the daughters of Daksha in the 18th chapter. And finally, it comes to, in some probability, finally, this whole thing will come to our Diti giving birth to Maruts. So that was the 18th chapter, and 19th chapter detailedly describes Pumsavana sacrifices. Okay. Now, that's a 2-minute quick preview of second canto, 6th canto. We'll see the same thing in little more detail. So the 6th canto, out of the 10 themes of Bhagavatam, 6th canto predominantly discusses the Poshana aspect of the Lord. Poshana is translated as protection offered by the Lord to devotees. Devotees means not only devotees who follow everything sincerely, although when devotees sometimes transgress the laws of dharma, still Lord out of his mercy offers him protection. So some of those examples are discussed in the 6th canto. Ajamil, he was a devotee. He was following his Brahminical culture nicely, but he was affected by seeing a lusty affair between a prostitute and some Sudra man. So he was affected, and finally he was protected. Indra, also he did so many mistakes, he was also protected. Chitraketu, he did some mistake, he was also protected. So protection aspect of the Lord is the predominant theme of 6th canto, Poshana. So 6th canto actually begins with the glories of bhakti. So in the story of Ajamil, actually Parikshit Maharaj asked this question, how could people be saved from entering hellish planets? So in response to that, Parikshit Maharaj, Sukadeva Goswami first proposes Karmakanda. And Parikshit Maharaj rejects it. It's like elephant bath. Then Sukadeva Goswami proposes Jnanakanda. Parikshit rejects that also. And finally, Sukadeva Goswami proposes bhakti. Kechit kevalaya bhaktya, So Vasudeva Parayana. Agham dhunvanti karsnena niharam eva bhaskara. So just like sun dissipates fog completely, similarly bhakti dissipates all sinful reactions completely, including the sinful mentality, proclivity also. So such people who chant the holy names of the Lord need not see Yamadutas even in their dreams. So this is the answer which he has given. And to substantiate this point, this philosophical point, he spoke the whole Ajamil episode, Ajamil story. So that's three chapters. So Ajamil, 88-year-old man, he was lying, he was calling his son, Yamadutas came to pick him up, and there was a conversation between Yamadutas and Vishnudutas, and Vishnudutas come and stop, Yamadutas say, why are you stopping us? Then Yamadutas narrate the incident, history of Ajamil. So it comes as a flashback in the whole story. Ajamil's story comes as a narration by Yamadutas to Vishnudutas. And because of being saved, Ajamil regains his senses, he laments, he performs bhakti when second chance was given to him, and then eventually he goes to Vaikuntha. Then Yamadutas go. Actually, Parikshit Maharaj asks, what was the response of Yamaraj? Okay, because Yamadutas were defeated and Yamaraj's jurisdiction is challenged, what was his response? In response to that, the whole conversation between Yamadutas and Yamaraj is mentioned by Sukadeva Goswami in the third chapter. So that is the glories of bhakti part, part A. Now part B is from 4 to 19 onwards, it's actually description of the descendants of daughters of Daksha. So descendants of Swayambhu Manu are discussed from canto 3, 4, 5, etc. So now he is continuing with the description of the descendants of Swayambhu Manu only. So Parikshit Maharaj actually asks, I want to know about the subsequent creation in detail. So then he begins with Daksha's creation in the fourth chapter. So Daksha takes birth from Prachetas and Marisha, and then he performs austerities and offers Hamsaguhya prayers to the Lord. Lord instructs Daksha, and as we just discussed, Daksha has 11,000 sons who became renunciants because of Narad Muni, and he has 60 daughters. So all that is described in detail in 6.5 and 6.6. So this is the, little more details we have already given in the previous slide. So we will kind of skip this. You can refer it. Now we will go into details of each chapter. So canto 5 is basically sthanam. It's not completely sthanam, but predominantly the topic of the maintenance of the inhabitants of different lokas or the geographical structure, the location of various planets in this universe, that is described in the fifth canto, right? Especially in the second half. And now sixth canto is describing Poshana. So yeah, this we have already done. Now first we'll go to the first chapter, Ajamil. So this is the chapter sections, what are all the contents of the chapter. Now, Parikshit Maharaj wants to ask a question in the beginning of 6th canto. So before asking a question, Parikshit Maharaj summarizes what he has heard till now. He has heard 5 cantos, now he is summarizing. So Parikshit Maharaj says, oh my dear Sukadeva Goswami, you have spoken about Nivritti Marga, right? Elevation to Brahmaloka, and then going back to Godhead along with Brahma, that you have spoken in the earlier cantos. And you also have spoken about Pravritti Marga, how because of being influenced by different modes, living entities will achieve different destinations, and how they achieve different bodies because of various inclinations, how they enjoy, how they suffer. All this you have discussed in the third canto. So Pravritti Marga, which is path of transmigration, and Nivritti Marga, which is path of liberation, you have discussed both of them in the previous cantos. Now, in the canto 5, we have also discussed how impious activities, because of impious activities, one will go to various hellish planets. That also I have discussed. Then you also have discussed the dynasties of Swayambhu Manu and various other great personalities. Mainly Swayambhu Manu only so far. All the other descendants described are descendants of Swayambhu Manu only. And you have discussed about the positioning of planets and various living entities who are living in those planets. And in the Canto 4, we discussed about first Manvantara of Swayambhu Manu. And you have also discussed the dynasties of the sons of Swayambhu Manu. And in the 5th canto, we have discussed the different planets and living entities living in those planets. So, he used this summary. I am very attentively hearing whatever you have said. Now I have a question. His question is, how may the humanity be saved from entering hellish planets? This was the question. So, Prabhupada appreciates the quality of a Vaishnava of being paradukha dukhi. So, Vaishnava personally has no problems, but he feels very compassionate on the people who are suffering. Right? And Parikshit Maharaj is the representative of all sane men who wants to save the suffering people. So, now, although Parikshit Maharaj was a pure devotee, Sukadeva Goswami, being a teacher of Parikshit Maharaj, he did not want to give a direct answer. The direct answer to this question is, if you perform devotional service, you will be saved from hellish planets. And say, being saved from hellish planets is an insignificant byproduct of performing devotional service. He would have given that high standard of answer. But to test his student, Sukadeva Goswami speaks the answer in various stages. So now his first proposal is, he proposes the karmakandic atonement. So, if sins are committed by body, mind and words are not atoned before one dies, hell is guaranteed. Right? One has to perform the process of atonement according to karmakanda for being saved from hell. Then, one has to quickly atone when the body is strong. Right? When he becomes sick or when he becomes old, he cannot perform this atonement processes, or he cannot perform any austerities. So better perform the atonement when the body is strong only. So, you see, he proposed one thing, one answer, and then he also substantiated that immediately with this. Oh, you have to quickly atone also. Atonement is the answer. Okay, atonement will save you from hellish planets. Then he says, you have to quickly perform atonement also. So it's like, it seems very genuine and then he meant it. But Parikshit Maharaj, being very intelligent, he could detect. Okay, I think my spiritual master must not have meant it. Okay, at least my understanding doesn't accommodate this kind of answer. Right? And if you don't quickly atone, Parikshit Maharaj says, Sukadeva Goswami says, if you don't quickly atone, then the reactions will increase and the time is lost. Just like a physician treats a disease according to the gravity of the disease, similarly, one has to quickly perform atonement. Parikshit Maharaj says, an uncontrolled person will commit sins. Even after performing atonement, a person who is having uncontrolled senses will continue to commit sin. It is useless, like elephant taking bath. Then, Parikshit Maharaj rejected that answer and Sukadeva Goswami is proposing the next answer, which is atonement, which is Jnanakanda. Now here, because he rejected the answer, Sukadeva Goswami says, the actual atonement, real atonement is knowledge. Why? Because if in karmakandic atonement, you will perform some pious activity to neutralize an impious activity. But this pious activity is also fruitive activity, karmakandic activity, and it is performed in ignorance. So, because there is ignorance, it cannot uproot the desires to commit sin. Because ignorance is the root of sin. Right? Avidya is the root of papa. So, first you have to root out this avidya by vidya, by jnana. So, jnanakanda is the real atonement. Right? It can save one from hellish planets. So, Chakravarti also substantiates. He says, by atonement one will get a quick relief, but there is no complete destruction of sin, because the seed of sin, which is ignorance, is already there. It is not eradicated. So the chief atonement is jnana, which removes ignorance. Now, there are different rules and regulations that one has to follow as a part of jnana. So if you follow so many niyamas, liberation is guaranteed. That is, if you follow certain diet, then the disease is cured. Similarly, if you follow the rules and regulations of the process of jnana, then liberation is achieved. Right? So, and the knower of dharma is purified of sins. Like, sins are dried. Okay, when the creepers are the bamboo, what is that? Venugulmam Ivanala. That was the Sanskrit used. Earlier it was Kunjara Sauchavat, elephant bath. Now it is Venugulmam Ivanala. Just like bamboo is, when it contacts fire, it's like totally destroyed, burnt to ashes. But the roots remain. And when favorable circumstances and climate is there, again they will creep up. So like that. So but Parikshit Maharaj rejected this also. He didn't say that, but he rejected. But still, this jnana path is comparatively better than this karma path. Right? In the karma path, fruitive action, there is every chance of falling into hellish conditions. But in the jnana path, at least there is a gradual purification, at least one will be saved from hellish life. You may not get the highest destination. But the difficulty is, one is not actually liberated, but he thinks that he is liberated. Right? And even if one achieves liberation also, still there is a chance of falling down, because he is not offering any service at the lotus feet of the Lord. Right? So these are some comparisons between jnana and karma. But still, Parikshit Maharaj is not satisfied even with a better answer. He wants the best answer. The best answer is Kechit Kevalaya Bhaktya Vasudeva Parayanaha Agham Dhunvanti Karsnyena Niharam Iva Bhaskara. So just like sun dissipates fog, similarly, if one performs bhakti unto Vasudeva, unalloyed bhakti, Kevalaya Bhaktya unto Vasudeva, then Agham Dhunvanti Karsnyena, all the sins are completely destroyed. Just like sun dissipates fog with its first ray only. So to substantiate this in the next few verses, and especially in the purport of this verse, Acharyas quote several verses. Shreya sritim bhakti madasyate vibho klishyantiye kevala bodhalabdhaye tesham asau kleshala eva shishyate nanyat yatha sthula tushavaghatinat. So if one rejects bhakti and then cultivates this jnana, speculative knowledge, Shreya Shritim Bhaktim Udasyate Vibho, and then Klishyantiye Kevala Bodhalabhyate, which is, he cultivates jnana, which is very, which is filled with so many difficulties. Klishyantiye, it's a troublesome process. It is like beating empty husk, which will not give you any grain, like that. And there are so many other references. Bhakti Pareshana Bhava Varaktaranyatracha. Then tushti pushti kshodapaya, just by eating some food, one is relieved of hunger and he will be nourished and he will get satisfaction also. Tushti pushti kshodapaya, all these three will happen. Similarly, by performing bhakti, by performing devotional service, he will have three effects. Bhakti, his devotion will increase. Para ishanu bhavo, he will experience the Supreme Lord. And virakti, virakti ranyatracha, detachment from other things. All this will happen. Then he quotes Uddhava Gita. Just bhakti to Krishna, especially, only Krishna, it burns the sins just like fern burn fire. Blazing fire burns the whole firewood to ashes. So that was the comparison given. And he quotes Devahuti in the third canto and says, Yannamadheya Sravanana Kirtanatyat Prahvanatyat Smaranadapi Kuchit Svadopi Sadhya Shavanaya Kalpate Kutah Punaste Bhagavan Nudarshanat. Even a person born in dog eater family, if he does Shravan, Kirtan, Prahvan, offering obeisances and Smaran, then he will be eligible to perform Vedic sacrifices also. Right? So, and Jiva Goswami gives the divisions of bhakti. Bhakti has different sections. So there is Santata Bhakti, It continues incessantly with faith, and there is kadachit ki bhakti, which is intermittent. It is sometimes awakened. And in kadachit ki, there are different categories. Raga bhasamayi, where one is almost attached. Then raga bhasa sunya swarupa. There is no spontaneous love. And there is abhasa rupa. There is a slight glimpse of devotional service. So even in this lowest stage of abhasa rupa, where there is a slight glimpse of devotional service, one's sinful reactions are completely eradicated. So even with the first ray of sunshine, fog is dissipated. So similarly, this is bhakti has that effect, like that. Now, so bhakti uproots sins. So service to devotees will purify a sinful man more than austerities and atonement. So, bhakti is there. He spoke about bhakti in the 14th or 15th verse. Then, in the next 4 or 5 verses, he is speaking other things which are favorable to bhakti, performance of bhakti. So, service to devotees is such an important integral part of bhakti. So, service to devotees will purify a sinful man. And that kind of purification is not offered by austerities and atonement. Right? Then, in the 17th verse, he says, bhakti is the most auspicious path. No fear of obstacles. Right? You close your eyes and then just go ahead. Right? No fear of obstacles. And what is the proof? So many great saintly people are following this path. That is another acknowledgement to the glory of this path. Then, 18th verse, he says, atonements do not lead to purification. Just like you wash some liquor pot, right, in various rivers, that doesn't mean the pot is purified. It will still, you know, give a bad smell, bas. So, and then finally he says, Sakrin Manah Krishna Padara Vindayor. So, devotees who chant the holy names of the Lord, who remember the Lord, with such remembrance, they are purified. So, that remembrance is as good as performing hundreds of atonements. So, devotees accomplish all atonements by remembrance. So, such devotees need not see Yamadutas even in dreams, what to speak of personally seeing them, like that. So to substantiate this point, which the 19th verse is making, Sakrin Manah Krishna Padara Vindayor, so our Sukadeva Goswami narrates the story of Ajamil. So Ajamil was a pure Brahman and he lost all good qualities because of marrying a prostitute and living with her. Then he committed so many sins to maintain his family. Okay. And like that, 88 years of his life passed. Then he got 10 sons. And the youngest son, who is maybe a couple of years old, so he was very dear to Ajamil. Right? When he was on the deathbed, Ajamil enjoyed Narayana. His name is Narayana. Ajamil enjoyed Narayana's activities so much. And he could not understand. Being absorbed in the broken words of Ajamil, of Narayana, Ajamil could not understand that death was approaching him. Right? So, but death approached him. So at the time of death, he began thinking exclusively of his son Narayana only. And he started calling out, Narayana, Narayana. So, Yamadutas, because he was a sinful person and his time of death arrived, Yamadutas came to pick him up. So, he was bewildered to see them. And he loudly chanted Narayana. Because he chanted Narayana, so 4 syllables of Narayana, Vishnu Dutas came. 4 Vishnu Dutas came. So, this Vishnu Dutas came and they were stopping Yamadutas. Then, Vishnu Dutas, Yamadutas questioned, oh, Vishnu Dutas, why are you challenging the jurisdiction of Yamaraj? Right? So, Yamaraj's jurisdiction is never obstructed in any way by anyone so far. Why are you unnecessarily challenging? So, where is your place? Okay, where did you come from? Who is your master? Whose servants are you? Right? Why are you forbidding us? You are looking very properly. You are effulgent and your dressing style is very nice. But you are looking properly, but why are you acting improperly? Why are you not allowing us to perform our service? Then, Vishnudutta has asked, "Oh, you are claiming to be the servant of Yamaraj? Are you the servants of Yamaraj, Dharmaraj? Then tell me the meaning of dharma. Tell me the symptoms of, tell us the symptoms of adharma. What is the process of punishing people? Okay, who are the candidates for punishment?" So these are the questions asked by Vishnudutas. Now, Yamadutas give an answer, which we saw in our regular classes also. So the whole answer, several 10-15 verses are summarized into this one slide, where Yamadutas describe. So now here, somebody is committing some mistake and the punishment is being given to him, right? So the whole thing is explained in this way. There is a crime, there is the criminal, and there is an evidence, and there are witnesses, and there is the modus operandi, means the actual process or actual system through which a person committed sins, and the judgment, and the punishment, and the solution. So the crime is sin. Sins that are committed out of desire for sense gratification and due to ignorance. This is the crime. And the criminal, here Ajamil, but criminals are all embodied beings, right? Everyone who has taken birth in this material world, right, is impelled to act either piously or impiously, and he is a criminal. Right, so everyone, means especially all the human beings, are under the jurisdiction of Yamaraj, right? Unless they are devotees. So the evidence is three phases of life, past, present, and future. By seeing somebody, by observing somebody, how he is doing currently, you can understand what he must have done in the past and what he is going to do in the future, right? So this is the kind of evidence. And who is observing all this? His past, present, and future, who is observing? There are 12 witnesses. All the directions are there, demigods are there, sun, moon, all of them are witnessing the activities of the living entity. Then, the instruments through which one performs this crime is the gross and subtle bodies. And the judge is the super soul, and the executor of the judgment is Yamaraj. And the quantity of the punishment is proportionate to the crime, proportionate to the sin he committed, and the quality of the punishment is he will be put in the cycle of birth and death, and he will be put in the cycle of sin, right? And the solution is holy name that will come ahead. So that solution is not spoken by Yamadutas, that is spoken by the Vishnudutas. Now, the cycle of sin is like this. Avidya. Because of avidya, one will develop a desire to commit sin. The desire seed, bijam, will develop. Because of the desire seed, one will act on it and he will commit the sin. That is papam. And once you commit certain papa or sin, there is a unmanifest reaction. You will get a reaction, and the reaction is in an unmanifest state. And that unmanifest reaction will give you more proclivity to commit sin, and then that will become the bija, then papa, that whole cycle will continue. And this unmanifest reaction, the prarabdha reaction, will not only lead to proclivity to commit sin, it will lead to manifest reaction also. Right? So manifest reaction is called prarabdha and suffering. So avidya is the root cause of suffering in this material world. This is the whole cycle of sin. Now, so that is the case. They analyzed it that way. Now, specifically speaking about Ajamil, what he has done. Ajamil's fall down is described. He is having very good character, right? He's learned in the scriptures, right? He's well-behaved, Brahmana. But he saw an illicit affair between a prostitute and a Sudra man. And then his lust awakened. Right, and suddenly he became illusioned. He tried to control by remembering the instructions. He remembered Shastras and he tried to control, but he couldn't restrain. Right, he was forced by the Cupid, Madana Vepitam, and he lost all good sense, and he thought of that prostitute only, Dhyayan. So it began with Dhyayato Vishayan Pumsam, and he gave up Dharma eventually. and he brought that prostitute to his house and then married her, and then he tried to please her by various presentations, and which he has brought by utilizing his father's wealth only. And he gave up his respectable wife also. He chased away his respectable wife, and then he earned money somehow or the other, and he maintained the prostitute's children, and he ate the food which is cooked by the prostitute, and he became very irresponsible, swairachari. He started transgressing the shastric injunctions, shastram ullanghya, right? So like that, he was passing his life. So the same thing is put in this format. So Ajamil's fall down is also discussed in a different way. Like, it all began with attraction through eyes, and then attachment in the mind, and determination to fulfill that lusty desires, and loss of sleep, becoming emaciated, and disinterest in other external things, shamelessness, then madness, then becoming stunned, and death. So these are the different stages of degradation or fall down that happened in Ajamil's life, right? But because he chanted the holy names, he was given a second chance to perform devotional service, right? So these are the mistakes committed by Ajamil: deviation, prostitution, divorce, dacoit, then gluttony, uncleanliness, and no atonement for whatever he has done. So that brings us to an end of first chapter. Now we'll begin the second chapter. So you can ask questions, or I will ask questions to keep you awake. Right? I see many of you are sleepy. Yes, bro, we have some point. Gadadhar Gaur Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, I have heard in the village that the Ajamil, the boy who was born, his name is Narayan. मतलब पहले से कोई ब्राह्मण था, उसका वो बीमार था, तो उसका बोला कि जो सबसे बड़ा पापी है उसका झूठा खाएगा तो तेरा बीमार ठीक हो जाएगा. तो अजामिल जो गांव में सबसे पापी था, तो उसका झूठा खाने से उसका बीमार ठीक हो गया था. तो ब्राह्मण ने उसको दिया था बेनिडिक्शन कि तेरा लड़का होगा नारायण होगा, तो उसके वजह से तेरा जो पाप का जो पापी था, तो पाप से जो मतलब यू कैन एस्केप फ्रॉम योर सिनफुल एक्टिविटी. Is there any story there, Prabhuji?
No, last part I didn't get.
मतलब एक गांव में एक आदमी था, उसका बीमार था, तो उसने कॉन्टैक्ट किया कोई ब्राह्मण वैष्णव को, तो उन्होंने बोला था कि जो आपका गांव का सबसे बड़ा पापी है उसका झूठा खाने से तेरा बीमार ठीक हो जाएगा. तो उसी गांव में पापी था अजामिल. तो अजामिल ना, अजामिल का जो झूठा था, उसका वाइफ ने उसको हेल्प किया था कि अजामिल का झूठा देने के लिए वो आदमी को. तो अजामिल का जो वाइफ था, तो उसने खुशी हो गया था कि तुम्हारा वजह से, तुम्हारा तेरा वजह से मेरा बीमार ठीक हो.
By eating the jhoota of Ajamil, somebody's disease got cured.
तो that brahmana giving a benediction to Ajamil's wife, that due to your help, I am cured. I am giving a boon that your son will give you Narayana, and by your son you will be escape from death. I don't know
the story. But okay. Seems interesting. You heard this? Interesting. Okay.
No. Hari bol. Bhiksha from a brahmana's house. So when they came to Ajamil's house, and they came to know that from his wife that she is a prostitute, and he is now not now acting like a brahmana, so they felt pity. Okay, the brahmana is fallen down, so they, out of the compassion, they say, okay, just you can name your child Narayan.
So okay, this I heard.
This you also heard, na? That.
Okay, now second chapter. So Vishnu Dutas chastised Yama Dutas. You can ask after the second chapter. Yes. सबको जगाने के लिए. ओके
प्रभुजी, द पॉइंट्स यू 10 स्टेप्स यू सेड ना, अजामिल फॉल डाउन, सो दिस इज आल्सो कम्स इन 10th कैंट ऑफ श्रीमद् भागवतम, हाउ इट्स द स्टेप्स फॉर फॉलिंग डाउन आल्सो, एंड इट्स द स्टेप्स फॉर लिबरेशन व्हेन वन अट्रैक्टेड टू
या प्रेमा
prema.
Correct. We discussed in the detailed class, in the first chapter. So, second chapter. Now, in the first chapter, Vishnudas questioned Yamadutas, and Yamadutas answered those questions. Now, what was Vishnudutas' response? That we will see in the second chapter. So, Vishnudutas were saying, how come irreligion entered the religious assembly? They are claiming to be the servants of Yamaraj, Dharmaraj, and they are doing irreligion. And they speak about the qualities of king, how king has to be ideal, and how common men follow the leader's example. And this is like betrayal of trust. King is supposed to protect the citizens, and then king is unnecessarily punishing the citizens. So this is injustice. So they are criticizing that way. Now they started glorifying the holy name. So holy name is the perfect atonement. Here Ajamil helplessly chanted holy name and he is eligible for liberation. Then holy name is a perfect atonement for sins that are committed in millions of lives. Right? So the details and all the nice verses that we have seen in the previous classes. So holy name, by chanting holy name one can attract Lord's attention. Even if he is a sthena surapo, even if he is a drunkard or the killer of Brahmana or killer of cow or whatever sins he may have committed, but by chanting the holy names he can attract Lord's attention. And holy name will awaken bhakti also. Other Vedic rituals and atonement processes cannot awaken bhakti. And holy name is causing perfect purification. It cleans the dirt in the heart. It frees one from all sinful reactions. And holy name is effective in all moods. Right? Sanketyam parihasyamvya. Even if someone just calls, hey, Hare Krishna, then that is also purification. It's effective in all kinds of moods. Then it is effective in all kinds of accidents or calamities. Right? While falling or while sleeping, while just getting up, you sat for 3 hours and then you just get up with great difficulty and you say Narayana. So that will have a certain effect, positive effect. Right? And holy name can counteract whole range of sins, whether heavy sin or light sin, guru namcha, lughu namcha, whatever it may be, holy name can counteract. Holy name can uproot the sinful desires. That's the main thing, that one will commit sin because of sinful desire. So holy name will uproot the desires also, right? And just like fire burns dry grass, not even wet grass or just green grass, just like fire can burn dry grass totally into ashes, our holy name also will have that infallible action of completely eradicating one's sinful reactions. And holy name is independent of chanter's knowledge. Means whether the person chants knowingly or unknowingly, holy name is effective. Just like someone takes a medicine, whether he knows the ingredients of the medicine, power of the medicine or not, it will act on him. So similarly, holy name will also act. So these are the effects of holy name that are described by the Vishnudutas in front of Yamadutas. And finally, Vishnudutas release Ajamil from the Yamadutas, and Yamadutas go and report everything to Yamaraj. Then Ajamil came back to senses and he offered obeisances to Vishnudutas, and he was extremely pleased, and he wanted to say something, but Vishnudutas disappeared to keep him in separation. So Ajamil felt separation from Vishnudutas. So Ajamil also understood. He understood the Samanya Dharma, okay, all the religious principles, okay, from Yamadutas. And he also understood the transcendental principles of chanting the holy name from Vishnudutas. And he understood his own fallen condition. And then he came back to his senses and he started regretting for his sinful life, whatever he has done so far. And Ajamil lamented, and that lamentation has predominantly five aspects. He regretted that I have become the servant of senses, I have become so degraded, I have eaten the food cooked by a prostitute, I have procreated children through a prostitute, I am degraded. So I have degraded the family traditions, and I didn't take care of my old parents, I checked them out of house, and I utilized their property to fulfill my sensual desires. And he regretted for it. And he became aware that the result of all my actions is hell. And he felt grateful for the Vishnudutas who brought about this transformation in his character. Right? Oh, Vishnudutas I have seen. Because of that I got this transformation. So this Vishnudutas vision is a dream. Where did they go? Right? I saw them because of my some of my previous spiritual activities. Otherwise, I should not have seen them. And he started appreciating the process of devotional service. Because I have done some devotional service in the past, now I could see Vishnudutas. So he started appreciating the whole process of devotional service. Right? Without doing devotional service, at the time of death, one cannot chant the holy name. So where is sinful Ajamila and where is the chanting of the holy names? If I am so sinful and I can come in contact with the holy name, then it is definitely the effect of devotional service, which I have done earlier. And then he was very much determined. His determination was, I shouldn't go back to this material life anymore. And he has so many resolutions. So the resolutions are here. I should always engage in devotional service. I should disentangle from bondage of Maya, which is woman, the prostitute there. And I should give up all lusty desires. So like that, he has so many resolutions. Right? So he became determined to follow all this. And he went to Haridwar. Right? Because of Vishnudutta's association, which happened only for few moments. So he became completely purified and became freed from material conception. And he went to Haridwar, took shelter of a Vishnu temple there. And he started performing bhakti yoga. He controlled his mind and senses. And he started... He absorbed in thinking of Lord's form, and at the end of his life, he saw the same Vishnudutas come to receive him in the Vaikuntha airplane. So Ajamil, he regained his spiritual body that is fit to be the body of Lord's associate, and he went to Vaikuntha in the Vaikuntha Viman airplane. Right. All this is done by the slight glimpse of chanting of the holy name. So Sukadeva Goswami and Chakravarti Pad and Prabhupada, so they give us this understanding at the end of the chapter. Ajamil chanted without faith. But what will happen if we chant with faith? Ajamil chanted at the time of his death. What will happen if we chant while living during our life? Ajamil chanted to indicate his son. He was calling his son. What will happen if we chant to indicate the Lord? And Ajamil was most sinful. What will happen if a sinless person chants? So, Ajamil episode was not a license for one to commit sins in the name of, in the strength of devotional service or chanting holy names. But Ajamil's episode should inspire us to take to devotional service more seriously, in a much better way. If he gets this benefit, what benefit I'm going to get? And there is something more superior also. Like that. Then, now in the third chapter, Yamadutas questions about the supreme controller to Yamaraj is described. We will see. Here actually Parikshit Maharaj asks, what happened when Yamadutas reported the whole incident to Yamaraj? Because first time, Yamadutas were defeated. Right? What was Yamaraj's response? I want to know. And if a responsible person, authority, is defeated, or his jurisdiction is challenged, or his orders are not executed or questioned, or if they are proved wrong, that will create doubts in the minds of people. Right? So, I want to know what was the response of Yamaraj. So now, Sukadeva Goswami describes. All the Yamadutas go in front of Yamaraj and ask this question. How many rurals are there in this universe? Right? Who is causing the results of actions? Who will give the results of one's actions? Right? There could be so many rulers, we understand. But if there is a contradiction on who should be punished and who should be rewarded, if the authorities themselves are not having a common principle based on which people should be punished or rewarded, that will create confusion. Nobody will be punished, nobody will be rewarded. or everyone will be punished, everyone will be rewarded. This kind of confusions can happen. And we understand there should be one central emperor and there can be multiple departmental authorities. There should be one temple president and one multiple department authorities. But all these authorities should work under one law. The law must be one. So we thought you are the supreme judge. No, someone else is coming and transgressing your order. Right? When we went to take Ajamila's soul back to heavenly hellish planets, Vishnudutas came and cut our ropes. Right? And as soon as he uttered the name Narayana, four beautiful men arrived. Who are they? So this was the question. The first response of Yamaraj was, anyone wants to say? How did Yamaraj react after hearing this whole thing from Yamadutas? What was his first response? Happy. For what? Narayana. So first time Yamadutas spoke Narayana, so that he became very happy. Now, Yamaraj started giving answer. So his answer established the authority of the Supreme Lord. Supreme Lord, Supreme Personality of Godhead is the Supreme Controller. He is above all the demigods. Just like there is horizontal and vertical threads in a cloth, based on which the cloth is sustained, or just like there is a rope, okay, which is bound to the nose of a bull, and the rope controls the bull. Similarly, the whole world is controlled by the Supreme Controller, Supreme Lord. Right? He is like the horizontal and vertical threads of a cloth. He is like the rope which controls a bull. Then, just like men are bound by the Vedic injunctions, men are bound by Vedic injunctions, just like a bullock cart is controlled by a driver of the bullock cart. Like that. So similarly, Vedic injunctions are coming from the Supreme Lord, and Lord's injunctions are binding the men in this world. Even demigods and great rishis cannot understand the Supreme Lord. Right? So living entities cannot ascertain his position. Just like the bodily eyes can see the bodily limbs, but bodily limbs cannot see the eyes. So similarly, Supreme Lord can understand everyone's position, but living entities cannot understand the Lord's position. Like that. He is like the eyes and others are like bodily limbs. So that is the position of Supreme Lord. And then he will speak about the position of Vishnudutas. So Vishnudutas are having a quality, having qualities similar to that of the Supreme Lord. Right? Especially independence. Just like the Lord is independent, the devotees of the Lord, Vishnudutas, are also independent. They protect the devotees. That is their job profile. Right? And Bhagavata Dharma. He speaks about Bhagavata Dharma. Dharmam to Sakshat Bhagavata Pranitam. This Dharma is personally enacted by the Lord. And it cannot be ascertained by the demigods or rishis. And it is known to 12 Mahajans. Who are the 12 Mahajans? Swayambhu, Narada, Shambhu, etc. And I am one of them. And I keep myself in the end. 12 Mahajans list may, he will put his name in the last. And earlier he said, right, even demigods and rishis cannot understand him. He says, I don't understand him. Amongst the people who cannot understand him, I stand the first. Like that. Then he speaks about the glories of chanting. One holy name seminar by Vishnudutas, another holy name seminar by Yamaraj. So the real dharma of the human being is to chant the holy names. Just see how Ajamil is delivered. So Yamaraj, he is just addressing the whole issue of Ajamil only. And then in his description, he quotes Ajamil as example. Right? See Ajamil, he is the example. Right? So just see how Ajamil is delivered. And holy name is effective even if one does not pronounce it properly. And if one's mind is absorbed in other Vedic rituals, dharma, artha, kama, so he cannot understand the devotional service or this chanting process. Devotees and those devotees who chant are not in my jurisdiction. Okay? Means, Yamadutas, you are not supposed to bring them. Right? Even if they commit sin, you should not bring them. Whom you should bring? You should never approach devotees, and because devotees are protected by Vishnudutas. Earlier he said, Right, when he was mentioning about Vishnu Dutas, he said Vishnu Dutas protect the devotees. And devotees are also protected not only by Vishnu Dutas, they are also protected by Lord Kaumodaki, Gada. So you should not bring them. Whom to bring? Persons who have no connection, no concern about Vishnu, who never offer obeisances to Vishnu, who never chant the holy names of the Lord. Such people you bring to me. Right? And then finally he says, O Lord, please forgive our offense. My Yamadutas unnecessarily just came and trying to snatch the soul of your devotee. So please forgive. So that's how he ends. So Sukadeva Goswami concludes. He glorifies the Sankirtan as most auspicious. And he compares the power of chanting with other rituals. And how devotees don't return to sinful activities, but karmis do return to sinful activities. Right? And devotees are even dangerous for Yamadutas. Yamadutas are dangerous for everyone, but devotees are dangerous to Yamadutas. So they don't approach. So that is the end of third chapter. Now we will go to the fourth chapter, which is Hamsaguhya prayers. So here in the beginning of the chapter, Parikshit Maharaj inquires about the Visarga. I want to know about the subsequent creation. Right? You, in the fourth canto, you just came till Daksha. Then Prajavaritas dynasty is also described, but what happened to Daksha there? So I want to know the creation from there, from that point. So now Parikshit Maharaj, Sukadeva Goswami describes. So Prachetas, at the end of fourth canto, we understand Prachetas performed 10,000 years of austerity. And what did they chant for 10,000 years? Rudragita. So they were chanting Rudragita under the water. Okay, Lord Vishnu appeared. Right? And what did Vishnu give them? What was the benediction he gave? One wife. And what else? That everyone remembered. What else he gave? You enjoy this material world with full bodily strength. So these are some benedictions given by the Lord. Then Prachetas came out of the water, and Prachetas saw the earth covered by trees, right? And they became angry, and they started emanating fire from their mouths to burn the trees, right? And then Soma came. Okay, Soma is the moon god. He came and started speaking to the Prachetas. So he pacified the Prachetas. So Soma says, your duty is, as kings, your duty is to protect the citizens. You should cause the prosperity of the citizens. That should be your priority. And you are burning the trees. Trees and vegetables are eatables for all living entities. Right? You can't afford to burn all the trees. Right? You are becoming too angry unnecessarily. And nature has arranged different foods for different living entities. And if you kill these trees, your subjects will not get any herbs or trees. They need trees. They need herbs. Okay, you can't afford to inhalate this whole tree race only. Right? So you should follow your predecessors. Your predecessors, they protected citizens, protected subjects, and they controlled their anger. You should also control your anger and not kill these trees and thus protect your citizens. Like that. And finally, Soma says, so this lady, Marisha, who is the son of Pramlocha, she happens to be under the protection of trees. So you should accept this Marisha. And before that he also says, king should protect the subjects just like parents protect children, eyelids protect eyes, husband protects wife, and householder protects a beggar, and the learned person protects the ignorant. Similarly, king should protect the subjects, right? And you should also see that a body is a temple, because super soul is living in everybody's body. So you should not cause destruction of any living entity. And one who inquires about self-realization, one who can subdue his anger, he can transcend modes. So you should understand that trees are also your subjects, and you should protect them. You should not become unnecessarily angry, and you remain happy and accept this girl Marisha and then marry her. Now Parichetas marry Marisha, and Daksha is born of them, and after Daksha takes birth, he creates different types of jivas, demigods, human beings, birds, beasts, aquatics, etc. And then Daksha, still he was not satisfied. He goes to Mount Vindhya at Aghamarshana and then starts doing austerities to please the Supreme Lord. So he offers Hamsa Guhya prayers. These are some Vedic prayers. They are not original prayers composed by Daksha, but he chants a set of prayers which are standard prayers. They are called Hamsa Guhya prayers. So these are very technical prayers. Nimailila Prabhu must have explained you nicely. So we'll briefly summarize. So in Hamsa Guhya prayers, Daksha glorifies the Lord as transcendental, as supreme controller, as omniscient and unlimited, and as the personality who is seen in a pure state, uncontaminated state. He glorifies him as super soul and the giver of liberation. And he is not ascertained by material senses, intelligence, mind and sound. He is not perceivable like that. And he is the Supreme Brahman, Krishna. He possesses unlimited qualities. And he is demonstrated both by theists and Sankhyaites. He is very merciful. These are the various ways in which Daksha glorifies the Supreme Lord in the Hamsa Guhya prayers. Then Lord instructs Daksha. First he says, your life is successful. You have performed devotion to me and you have performed austerity. Your life is successful. And I am pleased with your endeavor to fulfill my desire. What was the desire of the Lord that Daksha was fulfilling? Question. Creating progeny. So how is creating progeny Lord's desire? Yes, Devashish Prabhu.
All living entities in his body, they are taking parking there, they are taking rest. So they will again come to this world and it will give chance to go to back to Godhead.
By creating, the purpose of creation is to give the living entity a chance to go back to Godhead. So for that to happen, somebody has to create the bodies, somebody has to give birth. So all these Prajapatis are assisting the Supreme Lord in the creation. Right? That's why he is happy. So demigods and Prajapatis who are increasing population are benefiting living entities. They are incarnations of my qualities, Lord says. And Lord describes his form according to Karma Yoga. You can see this. Then, I existed before creation. Okay, where does this come? I existed before creation. Chatushloki Bhagavatam. Ahamevasamevagre. So, at that time consciousness was not manifested. I'm all pervading. I'm the source of cosmic manifestation, source of Brahma. And I instructed Brahma to perform austerities, tapa, tapa. Then now the instruction given to Daksha was, you accept Asikni. Okay? She is the daughter of Panchajana. You accept her and increase population. And your children also will engage in sex captivated by my Maya. And they will also produce children. So these are the instructions of the Lord given to Daksha. Now, the fifth chapter describes the episode of Daksha and Narada and his sons. So in this chapter, we will see the allegory that Narada Muni spoke to Haryashvas and their understanding and how Shavalashvas followed Haryashvas and how Daksha cursed Narada. Now, Daksha, he takes the order of the Supreme Lord. Okay, he goes back to his kingdom and Daksha begets 10,000 sons. Their names, they are commonly called as Haryashvas. So he ordered them to beget children. Okay, he begot children and he ordered them to beget more children. Then all of them, when they received the order to beget children, they will go out to perform austerities. Why? Question. Makanlal Prabhu. Is it meaningful? somebody is ordered to beget children and he is leaving the kingdom and family and then going into the forest to perform some austerities. Does it make sense? Yes, Makanlal Prabhu will answer. Mike is, you are in charge of Mike. Use Mike.
uh, some level of pious credits is required for progenitor also.
Okay. Pious credits are needed. Any other answer? You already have spoke. Someone else. Okay. Okay. Anything else? Yes. Anadiram Prabhu.
Like by performing the austerity, one can become detached to any material kinds of like sex or anything. Mm. So he can develop detachment as well as knowledge also.
Detachment and knowledge. Okay. Any other answers? Purification. Correct. So these were the reasons we discussed in our classes. In which class we discussed this? Not in this class. I didn't speak on this. Before fourth canto. Performing austerities before entering grihastha ashram. Kardam Muni. Okay. Okay. Anywhere else? Huh? Devashish Prabhu? Priyavrat. He was pulled into grihastha ashram. Grihastha ashram thodi. Okay. Anything else? Just remember the kings. Ritu Maharaj, no. Open the... what is this? Panchajani. Yes? No, you are right. You are almost right. No. Who is the father of Daksha? Prachetas. What did they do before entering grihastha ashram? In that context only we discussed. Fourth canto. You remember Prachetas? Prachinabharhi ordered the Prachetas to enter family life, to procreate children. They went out and then started doing austerities. But why these austerities are needed before entering family life? As some of you rightly pointed out, purification of one's mind and body and development of detachment. If by performing austerities in brahmachari life, okay, before entering grihastha life, if one can perform austerities, his mind is purified by thinking that Supreme Lord is the controller. Right? He performs austerities and he's used to austerities and leading a simple life, so that he will not be tempted and carried away by the opulence of kingdom. Right? All this we discussed. We discussed from Bhurijan Prabhu's book also. Good children will come. Yeah. Good answer. So all of these devotees, these Hariyashvas, they went to Narayan Saras to perform austerities. Then Narada Muni came. Okay. Why did he come? These poor children, they are going out, poor boys, and they are doing some austerities following their father's order. So why did Narada Muni come and disturb them? He is a fanatic to make everyone renunciants. The duty is to preach. He can preach grihastha also, grihastha ashram also. Why only renunciation? He is preaching to grihasthas also, but here he is preaching to unmarried boys to remain unmarried. Why? He saw the spark in them. So Hariyashvas were already purified. They were practically ready for liberation. Right? So preacher means he sees the quality, the nature of the person and then directs him accordingly. He is not like a fanatic preacher who wants to make the entire world into renunciants. Here are the people who are suitable for this. Right? They are already purified. They were practically ready for liberation. Why should they enter family life? So that's why Narada Muni came. So Narada Muni came and spoke Elagari. Now Elagari came. So now I will ask questions. So Narada Muni is Elagari. So Adrishtavantam Bhuvo means you have not seen the extremities of earth. Right? Tathaika Purusham Rashtram. What does it mean? Sachidulal Prabhu. Tathaika Purusham Rashtram. What does it mean? There is one male king in that rashtram, in that kingdom. Okay? Then, Bilam Chadrishta Nirgamam. What does it mean? Bilam Chadrishta Nirgamam means there is a hole. Once you enter the hole, you will not come out. You are seeing the PPT there? No? Okay. Then, Bahurupam Striyam. Bahurupam Striyam. What does it mean? What does it mean? Allegorical point, you say. Amritesh Prabhu. Bahurupam Striyam. What does it mean? You heard this chapter? So there is a stri there. Who changes dresses? Who changes the forms? Bahurupam. There is an unchaste prostitute lady who was changing dresses. Then, what is that? Pumamsam Pumshali Patim. Okay. Husband of this prostitute. So she is a Pumshali who changes dresses and there is a husband. And Nadim Ubhayato Vaham. There is a river which is flowing in both directions. Right? Then Pancha Panchadbhutam Griham. What does it mean? Yes, Anandanimai Prabhu. What is this Pancha Panchadbhutam Griham? There is a house. Yes, Achyutanitayanand Prabhu. Five elements. Pancha Pancha. 5 into 5 elements. 25 elements. So there is a house made of 25 elements. Though pancha are there. Then, Hamsam Chitra Katham. Devotees? No. What is Hamsa? Swan. Chitra Katham. A swan which can speak. There is a speaking swan that vibrates various sounds. Okay, then Kshaurapavyam Swayam Brahmi. What does it mean? Correct. There is a revolving object. So I thought summary class, overview class means I can run. Okay, you already know everything. I think this is a better way. Okay. Swapitur Adesham Avidvamsu. What does it mean? You don't know what your father wants from you. Swapitur Adesham Avidvamsu. You don't know what your father wants. What is your actual father's order? Now, the understanding. So Narada Muni doesn't explain. That slide he shows and then he leaves. And even after studying it, you are unable to understand what Narada Muni says. Right? Even after writing exam, understand. All these Hariyashvas, 10,000 of them, they understood in a similar way. Okay, they individually contemplated on the meaning of this allegory and came to a common understanding. That is, kima sat karma bhir bhavet. That is the common understanding. Why enter this temporary material life? What is the substantiality of these karmas, fruitive activities? So let's not enter there. That was their common understanding. Now, what does it mean? I should not show. This is extremities of earth. You have not seen the extremities of earth. Right? What does it mean? How did Hariyashvas understand this allegory, this allegorical point? There are 10 allegorical points. How did they understand? Yes, Puneet Prabhu. Sorry, Pran Gopinath Prabhu. Yeah, you have not seen the extremities of earth means he is speaking specifically about the material body. Material body is like encasement, right? Which has birth and death. Because you are in the peak of youth, you couldn't understand, right? How this whole body, the expanse of the tenure of this body, you have not seen any of those extremities, right? You understand first that this body is an encasement. Okay. There is one male. Who is the king? Vrindavan Vihari. That's G.E.V. But what did Narada Muni say? He was born 1 year back. Supreme Personality of Godhead is the one male person, right, in the universe. Right? Okay. This answer I am showing. There is one hole. Okay, once having entered the hole, you will not come out. So that is either Vaikuntha or Patala. Once you enter the lower planets, Patala Loka, right, lower planets, you will not come out only. Right? Once you enter Vaikuntha also, you need not come back. Yadgatvana nivartante tadhama paramamama. Once you enter Patala, you will not come back means it's very difficult to come out of lower planets. But if you commit sins and do karmic activities, you may enter Patala Loka and then you may not come back. There's a risk involved there. That's what he meant. Right? Goloka or Vaikuntha. It's like a place once you go back, once you go, you will not come back. Okay. This you understand clearly. There is one prostitute who changes dresses. Unsteady intelligence. Right? Just like a prostitute is unsteady, she changes dresses, she changes husbands. So similarly, one's intelligence is also unsteady. Material intelligence is unsteady. And there is poor fellow husband. Who is that? Soul. Okay, Jiva is the husband of prostitute. Next, there is a river which is flowing in both directions. Okay, dualities of the material world, you can say. But it's actually Maya. The flow in both directions are referring to creation and destruction. And the current at the banks of the river is very strong. So these are the descriptions of the river. Once you drown, you will not come out. What is this? House of 25 elements that we can see. What does it mean? Body, no? Yes, who will say? Varada Gopal Prabhu. What does this house of 25 elements elements mean? Hare Krishna. Adhivirish Prabhu. You don't know. Who else? Who else want to? Abhimanyu Prabhu. No. My God. I thought you will say like this. So this is Krishna. House made of 25 elements is Lord. Basically Lord is the source of all 25 elements. That way. Okay, speaking swan. What is speaking swan? Gadadhar Gaur Prabhu. Vedas. Shastras are the speaking swan. Right? Then what is this rotating object? Time. This everyone knows. Then, okay, now you don't know the father's order. But what Narada Muni was referring to is not the similar father who is Daksha. Right? Not the material father, but the spiritual father who is Shastras. So you don't know the Shastric injunctions. What are Shastric injunctions saying? Perform devotional service. Right? So even dogs also have fathers, parents. Okay, Prabhupada writes all this in the purport. Okay, getting a material father, seminal father is not a big deal. Even cats and dogs also have fathers. Okay, parents. So the actual parents are Guru and Shastra. Right, first understand their instructions. Their instructions are more important than similar parents' instructions. Clear, na? Elagar is clear. So this is summary. So not seeing the extremities of earth means you have not seen the field of activities that is material body. One male king, who is supreme lord, who is the observer. Whole or bila, it's Patala or Vaikuntha. Unchaste, prostitute, unsteady intelligence. Prostitute's husband is Jiva, who loses all independence. Right? River flowing in both directions is a material nature. Right? Maya, with creation and destruction. House made of 25 elements is the Lord is the reservoir of 25 elements. Speaking swan is the Shastras. Then revolving object with a sharp razor-like edges, that is the eternal time. Not knowing the instructions of Father means not knowing the Shastric injunctions, which are prescribing devotional service. Okay? So, Harishas follow Narada Muni's instructions. There is no instruction, there is an indication. Right? He just spoke a story. They understood, they rightly understood it, and they got the intended meaning of Narada Muni nicely. And Narada Muni became happy, and then he continued his travels. Daksha started lamenting. Brahmaji came, pacified. Right? Prabhupada says that this animosity between preachers and parents existed since time immemorial, since Daksha Narada days. Okay? So, but still, we should never give up preaching. Right? Daksha begets now 1,000 sons. Right? So Daksha is expert in procreating, Narada is expert in delivering. right? So what happened to that 10,000 sons? So they are also going out to perform austerities at Narayan Saras, same place. Daksha sent them. And Prabhupada appreciates Daksha as a responsible father. So responsible father means he should first allow the child to get trained, right, before giving him the charge of grihastha life. Then they did austerities, they drank only water, they chanted Om Namo Narayanaya, all that. And Narada comes, he speaks the same enigmatic words he spoke to their elder brothers, 10,000 Haryashvas. And as affectionate younger brothers, you should follow your elder brother's path. He just gave that hint and went. So basically Narada Muni utilized the family affection that these younger brothers have for their elder brothers. So Narada Muni leaves and Shyavalasvas engaged in Krishna consciousness and they also became renunciants. Then Daksha became angry. Prabhu, that male went. So why did Narada go to Daksha? So actually Narada Muni goes to Daksha. He wants to deliver the entire family of Manu. So Narada Muni practically delivered the entire family of Manu. Here is Priyavrata, then Uttanapada, Dhruva, Prachinabarhi, Prachetas, now Haryashvas also. So all of them who are family members of Manu, they are delivered. Why Daksha should remain alone? So he should also be delivered. So and he is in a detached mood because 11,000 sons became sannyasis. So he is in a detached mood. This is the right time to give him bhakti. So he goes there. So now after he goes there, Daksha blasphemes Narada. Okay, he will not listen to his preaching. Okay, he will not sit in his class. He gives him class. Right? And that class has so many galis, low class galis. First he says, asadhu, you are asadhu. Why? Because you taught bhikshur marga to innocent boys, my sons. Right? So Prabhupada says, parents may accuse, but devotees will preach. And you are papa, you are sin personified. Why? Because my sons have not cleared the three debts. Right? One is indebted to forefathers and then sages, okay? Demigods. So they have not cleared these three debts. So without clearing these three debts, if he renounces, he will be entangled, right? He will not be sustaining his renunciation. So now, but Prabhupada gives an argument against Daksha. Renouncing for the sake of Supreme Personality of Godhead makes one free from all debts. What is that verse? Devarshi Bhutaturunam Pitrunam. Then the Vaishnava's duty is to enable one to go back to Godhead. That's what Narada Muni did. So he cannot be called Papa. Then Daksha blasphemes him as Niranukrosha. You are without compassion. You have no mercy. You are Yashoha. Means you are defaming Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are not fit to be Lord's associate. Okay? Your being with the Supreme Lord is infamy for the Supreme Lord. You are Nirapatrapa, you are shameless. Once you did, again you are doing it. Okay, you are shameless. So Prabhupada says, Bhakti Yogi means he is callous to all opinions of this world. People may call him shameless, but he will continue preaching. Like that. Then Daksha says, you are Sauhurdaghnam, you break friendships amongst people. Right? So Prabhupada says, no. Devotees are Suhurdam Sarvabhutanam. They are not Sauhurdaghnam. They don't break friendships, they create friendships because they are friendly to every living entity. Then, you are not a Bhagavata. You are claiming to be Bhagavata, but you are not a Bhagavata. Why? Vairan karam avairinam. You are creating enmity amongst the people who do not have envy. Right? So, devotees don't create enemies, but non-devotees become inimical towards them. When someone is against a devotee, it's not that devotee is enemy of them. They are having envious feelings towards this devotee. But devotee is not at all envious towards them. Right? So Prabhupada says, let's be tolerant and merciful and continue preaching. People may claim, people may say like this. So, and knowledge brings detachment, not dress, not by changing dress like you. You just have changed your dress into saffron and do you think you are a renunciant? Actually, renunciation means by knowledge you will attain renunciation. Daksha's logic is, if someone is frustrated in this materialistic life, then that pain will inspire renunciation in him and that will sustain. What? This is for his sons only. All the above Sanskrit are blasphemous words towards Narada. And he said, knowledge brings detachment. Right? My sons have not yet developed that knowledge. You directly showed them the path of renunciation. So that renunciation should follow developing of knowledge first. And according to Daksha, that knowledge will develop only by getting frustrated in material life. Prabhupada gives an example. Just like a lady is there, she becomes pregnant, she engages in sex and becomes pregnant, and while giving birth to a child, she is feeling so much pain and then she will be determined, I should not become pregnant again. I can't tolerate this pain. So means, I will not engage in sex again. But because of her uncontrolled senses, she will again engage in sex and then again she will become pregnant. Right? But Daksha's logic is, she will not become pregnant. Okay, she will not engage in sex anymore once after giving birth to a child. That will not happen. As long as one has uncontrolled senses, it will continue to happen. So frustration in materialistic life need not necessarily lead to renunciation. Okay, anyways. So Prabhupada's argument is Narada actually arose detachment in Hariyashvas and Chavalashvas through giving them knowledge. He is not directly asking them. When somebody comes, you become brahmachari, you can't directly say it. That Narada also did not say that. They are qualified for it, that's why he gave that. Then experience, here is the point. Experience of misery leads to detachment, not by mind changed by others. Right? So, with this example we already discussed. And you may be forgiven once for displeasing an honest Grihavrata like me, Daksha, he says. So, now I will curse you. Travel without residence. So, he is a family man, Grihamedi, okay, or Grihavrata, he stays at home. From Daksha's perspective, staying at home is a great benediction, staying at one place. Okay? So, he thinks like that and curses Narada Muni. May you not stay at one place, you just continue wandering. But that's a boon for the preacher that he cannot understand. From his say, if Daksha is asked to travel everywhere, don't stay at home, that's a curse for him, but not for Daksha. Yeah, this we discussed. So that's how the chapter ends. So, but Narada was still tolerant. So Narada merely performed his duty as a Vaishnava by delivering all sons of Daksha and enabling them to go back to Godhead. So Daksha, so Narada Muni went to Daksha, seeing him angry, he could have returned, but he did not return. Right? Why? Because by allowing Daksha to vent out his frustration and just speak angry words, after that he will feel regretful, remorseful, and his anger will subside. At that time I can give bhakti at least. That's when Narada Muni was waiting. But Daksha's mood did not change. Narada Muni silently left. Right? And this is because of the traces of offense that of Daksha from his previous offense to Shiva. Right? So now we come to the progeny of Daksha. Now our Daksha is frustrated to have sons, right? 11,000 sons are gone. Okay, they joined Brahmachari Ashram. So now he creates 60 daughters. So out of 60 daughters, 10 got married to Yamaraj, 17 got married to Kashyapa, 27 got married to Moon God, and 2 daughters each married to Angira, then Krishastva and Bhuta. So their descendants are described in the 6th chapter. So these are all the descendants. So from the daughters of Daksha who got married to Kashyapa Muni, so all these birds, okay, Aruna, Garuda, the carriers, then fishes, okay, aquatics, all these cruel animals, good animals, all of them took birth. Right, reptiles, horses, etc. So now he described the descendants of Kashyap Muni and Daksha's daughters, and then he eventually came to this point where Tvashta, see last one, so Tvashta got married to Rachana, daughter of Daityas, and they gave birth to Sannivesha and Vishwarupa, and Vishwarupa became the priest of spiritual master of demigods. Right? So now Parikshit Maharaj asks. What did he ask? How did Brihaspati reject demigods? What was their offense? Why they had to go to another spiritual master like Vishwarup? That was the question. Now, it began. Now, Sukadeva Goswami begins. Indra's pride. So, Indra was sitting in the assembly, right, opulent assembly. And then Brihaspati entered. And Indra was very proud. He did not do anything to respect Brihaspati. He did not offer him a seat or he did not get up from his seat. So, knowing this, Brihaspati silently left from the assembly. Right, knowing that Indra was puffed up because of his material opulences. So, but Indra realized it after Brihaspati left and he started lamenting. Right, I am a Dabra Buddhi, lack of intelligence. Right, I have become Aishwarya Matta, I have become infatuated by material opulence. Right, so I insulted my guru. So, I condemn this material wealth and opulence. Right, even king on the throne should respect a Brahmana. But I failed to do so. I am condemned. So, he says, ignorant leaders who mislead people to the path, who mislead people are just leading them to the path of destruction, hell. It's like following an ignorant leader is like boarding a stone boat, which will only sink. Here the water may be less, or maybe they lifted it up, right, with some pillars. But generally, stone boat will sink. So, I will touch his feet without duplicity and satisfy him. So, he felt like that. But, Brihaspati became invisible. He made himself so unfindable that demigods, in spite of searching so much, they could not find him. So, because demigods have become very weak because of offense to spiritual master, demons came and attacked. Right? So, there was a big war. Because Shukracharya instructed demons to go and fight. So, demons came and fought against the demigods, and demigods got injured. They approached Brahma, and Brahmaji pacified them by chastising them. Right? So, because of your madness of material prosperity, you acted impudently and disrespected your guru, Brihaspati, who is a great soul. So, because of your misbehavior towards guru, weak demons also defeated you. They could defeat you, although they are weak. So, although they are weak, why did they get this power? How did they get this power? By the strength of worshipping their guru. So, one should be faithful to cows, brahmanas and supreme lord. By their mercy, one can achieve even unimaginable deeds. So, my suggestion to you now is, go and accept Vishwarupa as your guru. Now, demigods went to Vishwarupa and requested him, we are on the level of your parents. Try to fulfill our desire. The duty of a son is to please or serve his parents. So you should serve us. Right? So we are defeated by enemies. So you should relieve us from our distress. And don't hesitate that you are younger than us, you can't be our guru. Because you are advanced than us in knowledge, you can chant mantras nicely, you can become our guru. Okay? In that you are an expert. So we can accept a guru in that area. So, Vishwarup said, yeah, how can I, you are the great commanders of universe, how can I reject your order? I will accept priesthood. Although priesthood causes the loss of one's brahmanical power, still I will accept you. Okay, I will accept priesthood under you and help you to regain your strength. Ideally, a brahmana accepts silonchana vritti, right? But, means he will just pick up some grains here and there and then maintain himself, right? He will not accept priesthood and take some remuneration. But still, how can I... I accept priesthood under you because you are great demigods. I want to follow your order. So Vishwarupa did the necessary priestly activities and composed Narayan Kavacha and gave back the opulences to Indra. Right? Now, in the 8th chapter, Parikshit Maharaj asks Sukadeva Goswami, what was that Narayan Kavacha? You said Vishwarup taught Narayan Kavacha to Indra and employing that Narayan Kavacha, our demigods regained their strength. I want to know the details of that Narayan Kavacha. Parikshit Maharaj asks like that. So in response to that, our Sukadeva Goswami explains the whole Narayan Kavacha, hymn. There is Utpatti Nyasa, Samhara Nyasa, Karanyasa, Anganyasa, all this placing different syllables on different parts of the body. So these are the preliminary procedures, purificatory procedures, just like you do Manas Puja before dressing. So that kind of procedures are there to begin the chanting of this Narayan Kavacha. So Narayan Kavacha is a series of prayers offered for protection from various obstacles by various incarnations, right? There are different sections in this. So first section is protection by various incarnations. May Lord Matsya protect me from in water. May Lord Vamana protect me on the land. May Lord Trivikrama protect me in the sky. May Lord Narsingdev protect me in different places in forest and battlefront. So like that. So different incarnations of the Supreme Lord will offer you protection in different places. Right? So these are the list of all that. And different expansions of the Supreme Lord will protect you in different parts of the body. For example, Keshava will protect you in the first part of the day. Govinda will protect you in the second part of the day. Narayan will protect you in the third part of the day. And Madhava will protect you in the evening. So like that. Different expansions of the Lord will offer protection in various parts of the day. Then there is a prayer offered to Lord's weapons. So Lord's Chakra will protect you in various ways. And Lord Gada will produce sparks of fire as powerful thunderbolts and then protect the person who is chanting this Narayan Kavacha. And there is protection by Panchajanya, Lord's Conchal, Lord's Sword, Lord's Shield. So all the weapons of the Lord will also offer protection to the person who is chanting Narayan Kavacha. Right? So now there are, in this Narayan Kavacha, there are prayers to Lord's, not only Lord's incarnations, but Lord's weapons also. So at the end of these prayers, we'll also understand that all these weapons are also personalities. Okay, they are not material weapons. Conchal, it's not material, it's a personality. Lord's sword, it's not material weapon. Okay, it's spiritual thing. So it's everything connected to the Lord is spiritual. That's what the prayer concludes with. And also there is protection offered by holy name of the Lord and Lord's carrier Garuda. So these are the protection. And lastly, there is a special prayer offered seeking the protection of Narsingadev. Right? May Narsingadev protect us. So like that. And to explain the power of Narayan Kavacha, Sukadev Goswami speaks some story of Brahmana Kaushika. Right? So that is the end of 8th chapter. Now in the 9th chapter, we will see the appearance of demon Vritrasura. So what happened was, our Vishwaroop employed this Narayan Kavacha. He gave this Narayan Kavacha him to Indra and then enabled him to regain his opulence. Right? But what happened was, this Vishwaroopa had three heads, and with these heads, one head he will drink somras, one head he will drink wine, and then with other head he will take food. Right? So Vishwaroop was offering some hymns, oblations, secretly to the demons also, because he was connected to the demons from his mother's side. So they were his relatives, he was offering demons also. So seeing this, Indra became very insecure and angry. He is offering oblations to them also, in their name also. They will also become powerful. And later they will again come and defeat me. So our Indra became angry and beheaded Vishwaroopa. So all these three heads are removed from his body. And these three heads got transformed into three birds. Kalavinka, Kapinjala and Titri. So Indra killed Vishwaroopa. And because he killed a Brahmana who is a guru, Indra became very repentant and he suffered the sinful reactions of killing a Brahmana for 1 year. He did not neutralize them. But after 1 year, he distributed the sinful reactions among this earth, water, trees and woman, 1/4 each. Right? He distributed them. And because of accepting those sinful reactions of Indra, earth will have deserts and trees will have some sap falling from trees. So like that. They got affected a little bit. But they also received benedictions from Indra. because of relieving him from sinful reactions. The benediction that earth received is the ditches in the earth are automatically filled, okay, and the branches and twigs of the earth will grow, of trees will grow when they are trimmed. So like that, they received the benedictions also. Now, because Indra killed Vishwarupa, his father, Tvashta, became angry, and then he performed a sacrifice. Are, my son did so much, helped Indra so much, and this fellow is not grateful, he is killing him, just because of offering some oblations to demons. And Brahmaji also tells, Tvashta's son Vishwarupa will help you if you tolerate his inclinations towards demons. But still, Indra became very insecure and became angry. Right? He committed an offense towards a Brahmana. So Tvashta performed a ritual to generate a person who can kill Indra. So, but he pronounced some mantras very, there is an intonation mistake. Right? He pronounced a syllable for a little longer time. He uttered a syllable for longer time. So what happened was, instead of producing a son who can kill Indra, he produced a son who will be killed by Indra. Right? So, Vritrasura came. So the demon, he appeared as if he is going to destroy the entire universe. Right? He covered all the planetary systems. You can see in this picture, in comparison to the size of the priests, how big is the demon? Vritrasura. So demigods started attacking Vritrasura, but Vritrasura swallowed all their weapons completely. So demigods lost their strength, and then all of them approached the Supreme Personality of Godhead for protection. So demigods offers prayers. They offer prayers before Lord. There are two sets of prayers here. Before the Lord appeared in front of them, they offer certain prayers. And after the Lord appeared in front of them, they offer again prayers. Right? So first they say, demigods who control the universe are afraid of time. And the time is afraid of Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? So only Supreme Lord can protect one from fear. So demigods are afraid of time. Time is afraid of Lord. So this whole fear aspect can be under the control of the Supreme Lord only. If someone is fearful, he should surrender to the Supreme Lord only. Right? Then, the only shelter of everyone is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If he thinks there is any other shelter, it's like crossing the ocean by catching a dog's tail. Right? One may see a dog in an ocean, in a water body. Okay, this is especially for the pleasure of Achyut Nityanand Prabhu. So one cannot cross ocean by catching Lord's dog's tail. Right? Then another. As Matsyavatara, Lord saved Manu from flood. Right? So may he save us now from Vritrasura. Then in the beginning, Brahma was saved by the Lord, right? In the beginning of the creation, when he fell down in the water of devastation, may he save us now. Then Super Soul is there. Lord is situated before us as Super Soul, but we can't see him. Why? Because we have the mentality of being independent controllers, separate gods. That's why we are unable to see the Lord. He is Paramatma. And the same Supreme Personality of Godhead, he expands in various forms, in various incarnations. Okay? He comes in the form of various other species and human beings to protect his devotees. Okay, and he also expands himself as Viratrupa also. So may such Lord give us protection. So that's how in various ways they offer prayers. Now the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared in front of all the demigods, right, to relieve them, to give them some idea, some direction. Now, after Lord's appearance, the demigods offer prayers again. So they describe the qualities of the Lord. Right? Who is the giver of results of sacrifice, who is the time factor, who possesses variety of names, who control the three destinations, heaven, earthly planets, hell. So like that, they glorify the Lord as performer of inconceivable acts, etc. then you need no support in the creation, maintenance and destruction of this world. Right? You appear to engage in material activities, and that is inconceivable to us. You appear to engage in material activities, but you are not actually engaging in material activities. This is very inconceivable to common man to understand. So like that, and they also say that, do you accept the results of actions, or you are just a neutral witness, we are unable to understand. And your unlimited glories are inconceivable to us. So like that they glorify the Lord, and they say, there is no duality in the Supreme Lord. But Lord inspires duality, fear, according to one's intelligence. For example, one sees a snake and he becomes, when he sees a rope and then he thinks that he is a snake and then he becomes bewildered. Right? One more snake. So its duality is inspired by the Supreme Lord. And Lord is the basic principle of everything. Material manifestation, super soul, intelligence and senses. So like that, in various ways they glorify the Lord. And they speak about Krishna Katha also. And finally, they say your lotus feet is the only shelter. So we have discussed all this in detail. I will not go into details. Now, in response to their prayers, Lord gives them some instructions. So first, Lord condemns their material desire. You have offered such beautiful, knowledgeable prayers. Your prayers are full of knowledge, right? And such prayers can cause purification of the living entity. They can be the source of one's devotional service. And although you offered such nice prayers, your motivation is selfish. Right? He mildly kind of chastised them also. Right? But still, you have come to me. Nothing is difficult to me if I am pleased. So pure devotees will ask only pure devotional service, but you don't seem like pure devotees. You want something from me. But still, I will give you some solution. Okay, what is the solution? Solution is, you should go to Dadichi Muni. Okay, for his, and ask for his body. And he became very accomplished because of his knowledge, austerity, etc. So, Dadichi is the person who gave spiritual science to Ashwini Kumaras. He is the person who gave Narayana Kavacha to Tvashta and Vishwarupa. Vishwarupa gave you Narayana Kavacha, but Dadichi gave that Narayana Kavacha to Vishwarupa. Right? So, you should go and beg his body. Once you get his body, then you approach him through Ashwini Kumaras and then you get his body, and Vishwakarma can prepare a thunderbolt from his bones, right? And that thunderbolt can kill Vritrasura, right? So now then you will regain your strength and weapons, etc. So Vritrasura will not harm you. He is my devotee. Another indication that the Lord himself gave. Vritrasura is my devotee. Okay, what is this story? Makanlal Charan Prabhu? What is this story?
You can see clearly.
Yeah. Hmm. Mike. Hmm. Mike, here.
Dadichi Muni instructing Ashwini Kumaras. Because I think that pastime where Indra threatens Dadichi, that Ashwini
Indra threatens Dadichi, correct.
That if Ashwini Kumaras come to you, then will. So, and he threatens Dadichi, I'll chop off your head.
Mm.
So, Dadichi Muni tells Ashwini Kumara that I can teach you. Then when Indra comes and chops off my head, with a horse, I'll instruct to the head of a horse.
Mm.
Then with the same knowledge, you can revive me.
Mm.
That is it, Pastor.
Okay. That's actually the idea of Ashwini Kumaras, not Dadichi. So, Ashwini Kumaras approached Dadichi to give them spiritual science. Okay. Then later, he said, I'm little busy, you come later. Okay. Then meanwhile, Indra comes there and says, threatens Dadichi. They are just, doctors. Ashwini Kumaras are doctors only. You can't give them spiritual science. Right? So if you give them spiritual science, I will cut your head, he says. Then later Ashwini Kumar has come to take spiritual science. Then he says, Indra gave me this warning, how can I give you? Then Ashwini Kumar has said, we are doctors. Okay, we can do head replacement also. So first we will cut your head. Before he chops your head, we will chop your head and preserve it safely, okay, here in this corner. Then we will put a horse head on you. Then you give us spiritual science. Then Indra will come and chop off your head. But because we protected your head, we will install your head on your body. Then that's how they get the science. Ashwini Kumaras, generally there are two only. It's mentioned like that. Okay, now, yes, Prabhu. Anadiram Prabhu. Mike.
This Indra is the king of all demigods, and these are the subordinate to Indra. Na? That means they are the transgressing his order. So they are taking the knowledge from without permission.
Okay.
So can you explain?
I don't know what is their relation between. Yeah, they may be one of the demigods against Indra's desire. Why they had to take spiritual science? I don't know. We can explore. Okay. Now, where are we now? What is the link? Where did we end in the 9th chapter? Sachidulal Prabhu. Vritrasur. Devotee. So what was the idea he gave? He approached Dadichi, asked for his body. So that's how this chapter is. 10th chapter. So demigods approached Dadichi Muni and they beg for his body. But Dadichi was willing to give his body, but just to hear some dharma from them, he started speaking jokingly. He says, don't you know about the unbearable pain that one experiences at the time of death? Okay, how are you asking me my body? Jivas are attached to their bodies. How can they give it? Even if Lord Vishnu demands it, Jiva cannot give up his body. How can you ask like that? The demigods reply. So pious, kind and affectionate souls will give anything for others' benefit. You will give their body also. So you should give. You are a pious soul. Then selfish people do not know the pain of others. Okay. Now they also say that. Selfish people do not know the pain of others. Okay. And they will not ask, request for anything if that causes pain to the giver. But if the giver understands the need of the asker, requester, then he will give. Right? So you should please ask. You should please give your body. Then he says, okay, I'll give my body. It's not a problem for me. I just refused just to hear from you. Okay? So one who cannot sacrifice his this impermanent body for others is pitied by immovable things. Right? So body is of no use for the soul, so it must be engaged for others' benefit only. So I will give my body. So they will take the body of Dadichi and they create a thunderbolt which can kill Vritrasura. Right? So Dadichi gave up his gross body. He went into trance and he did not even realize that his material body is separated from him. So he is such an advanced soul. Now with this, yes Prabhu? That is Vritrasura, Indra killing Vritrasura. So Indra and demigods, they went to attack the demons. So they got this thunderbolt, right? So the fight is very elaborately described here. So Vishwakarma manufactured the thunderbolt and Indra boarded on this Airavat, and then he went there. So fighting things. You're excited? So thousands of demons were there. They attacked the demigods. Then demigods are covered by the arrows, just like the stars are covered by clouds. Demigods are covered by the arrows of the demons. So demons showered mountain peaks, trees and stones. Demigods broke all of them into pieces. So like that. So Vritrasura's soldiers became afraid because of the prowess of all these demigods. Vritrasura's soldiers, who are demons, they became afraid and they started running away. Right? So demons attack on the demigods has become very futile and they started running away. Now, because they are lost and they are running away, even in the beginning of the fight only, the fight did not pass for a long time also. It's almost in the beginning. Then Vritrasura smiled and started speaking to the asuras who were just running away. So Vritrasura, he was the hero among the heroes. He spoke according to time, place and circumstances. So now, what is he speaking? Death is unavoidable. So providence has not provided any escape from death. Right? Providence has not provided any escape from death. So in that situation, who will not accept a glorious death on the battlefield? If you die, you anyways have to die. You cannot escape from death. Better die on the battlefield. Right? Have a glorious death and then go to heavenly planets. There are two glorious deaths. One, by leaving the body by meditation on the Supreme Lord. Second, without showing the back, dying on the battlefield. So like that. But you are showing back. So this is not good. He chastised them. But still they are running away, leaving Vritrasura. So now in the 11th chapter we see that the demoniac commanders ran out of fear, ignoring Vritrasura's words. Then taking advantage of that, all the demigods started attacking the demons from behind. And Vritrasura turned this side, about turn, and then started chastising them. How can you just throw arrows like that on a person who is showing his back on the battlefield? Right? Demons are like stool. Okay, it is inglorious to attack a fearful enemy from behind. You will not be promoted to heaven. You are doing all this only to get heaven, right? You will not get heaven if you attack a fearful demon who is running away from the battlefield. I am standing in front of you, attack me. Right? Okay. He says like that. And so many images you have seen, you never said Hari Bol. I remembered you when I was putting this image. So Vritrasura roared like a lion. Okay, tumultuous roar like a lion. Demigods fainted just by that roaring only. As if they are stuck by thunderbolt. So they closed their eyes in fear. Then Vritrasura crushed them just like a mad elephant crushes some bamboos or some trees in the forest. Similarly, Vritrasura trampled all the demigods. See, under his lotus feet, you will see so many demigods in the picture. So now Vritrasura started fighting with Indra. Indra threw a club and then Vritrasura caught the club with left hand. You see in his left hand there is club, small club. Okay, very small. He caught it with left hand and made it useless. And then he struck the head of Airavat with the club. Right, with that club only. So Airavat broke its mouth and it went back 14 yards. Right, spitted blood. Right, Vritrasura now did not strike Indra. Because Indra is not in a position to fight back. So respecting the courts of war, you should not attack a opponent when he is not in a position to fight. You should give him some gap. So he stopped. So Indra relieved Airavata with his nectar-filled hands and then again he stood silently. So now Vritrasura started chastising Indra. Why are you sitting silently? You should fight, Baba. This is battlefield. He started chastising him. And Vritrasura remembered all his sinful activities. You have killed my brother. Right? Brother, my brother Vishwarupa was a Brahmana. He did so much favor for you, but you killed him. Right? Then Vritrasura laughed sarcastically and he spoke to Indra as follows. I will be free from debt by killing you. I will be free from my debt to my brother by killing you. Because you are a killer of Brahmana, who is your guru. Only for living in heavenly planets, you killed self-realized, sinless, qualified Brahmana like a butcher. You are condemned even by Rakshasas. After I kill you, even fire will not touch your body. Right? Only vultures will eat you. If fire touches your body, you will become ash, but you will not become ash. Okay, you will become stool of vultures. If your followers attack me, I shall sever their heads and do sacrifice to Bhairava with their heads. So like that he chastises. Now he started instructing. If you kill me, I offer my body to other jivas and desire to receive dust of the lotus feet of great souls like Narada Muni. So start using that thunderbolt. Okay, throw that thunderbolt on me. Because it is empowered by Vishnu's instruction and Dadichi's austerities. So Vishnu told you that by employing this thunderbolt, you will be able to kill me. Throw it. But Indra was hesitant. Aray, Gada is thrown and he made it useless. If I throw thunderbolt also, he will make it useless. He was feeling insecure. Vritrasura is continuing. Freed from material bondage, meditating on Sankarshan, I will attain the destination of Narada. Lord doesn't give opulence to devotees. Means, Lord may give you material opulence, okay, but he will not give me, because I don't need all that. So, Lord's mercy is obtainable only by unalloyed devotees. So, like that. Fonts are not there, Prabhu. Then, Vritrasura very nicely offers these four prayers to the Supreme Lord. First, he chastised Indra. Then, he instructed Indra. He was keeping silent. And then, he started offering prayers to the Supreme Lord. Why am I wasting time with this fellow? Unnecessarily. He is not moving only. Aham harer tava padaika mula dasana daso bhavutasmi bhuya. So, I want to be the asana das of the Supreme Lord. That was his desire. I don't want any other exalted position in this material world. Nanaka prashtam, nacha parameshtyam, nacha arvabhumam, narasadipatyam. So, like that. So, what I aspire for, okay, is only service to the Supreme Lord and His devotees. So, like that. And Ajata Patra Iva Mahataram Khaga. So, in various levels, he expresses his devotion. Okay, the final level was that the love that a wife had for her husband. So, like that, he offers nice prayers. Then, seeing all these prayers in the 12th chapter, and after offering these prayers, Vritrasura attacks Indra with his trident. Right? So, oh sinful fellow, I will kill you. So, he just threw his trident. So, Indra cuts the trident, and along with the trident, he cuts one of the arms of Vritrasura also. So, it was as thick as that of Vasuki. So, Vritrasura struck Indra on the jaw and Airavata with iron mace. So, Indra dropped the thunderbolt. Right? Earlier, he lost his one weapon, Gada. Here, thunderbolt fell down from his hands. So, all the people who are watching this whole movie, right, from sitting in the galleries of clouds there, so they praised Vritrasura because of his prowess. So now Indra is practically defeated. He was feeling ashamed to pick up the thunderbolt and again put it. I'm almost defeated only. Right? So Vritrasura encouraged Indra to fight. This is not the time to lament. You may have dropped your thunderbolt, but you can pick it up and then use it. Because Vishnu told you. Why are you forgetting that? So here, Vritrasura's enlightening of Indra is nicely put in this flowchart by Pran Gopinath Prabhu. He first says, except Supreme Personality of Godhead, no one can win. Right? He is the evergreen winner. But others either win or lose. Okay? Then every living entity is controlled by the Supreme Lord. He is the Supreme Controller. Then we just dance like puppets in his hands. So even Purushavatars also act under the guidance of Supreme Lord only. Right? So fools think body to be the cause. They are deprived of possessions at death unwillingly. So you should remain equiposed, and soul is just an observer, not actor. Very important thing. In other references also this comes, that soul is just observing the interactions between the modes. It is not acting. Right? Helplessly observing what's happening. Okay. So now, to inspire Indra, Vritrasura gives his own example. See me. One hand is cut off. All my soldiers just left me. I am alone on the battlefield. Still I am fighting. What is your problem? Why can't you fight? See my example and then fight. Consider this as a gambling match. So, play. Okay, don't lament unnecessarily. So, that's how he enlightens Indra. So now Indra appreciates Vritrasura. Indra smiled and spoke without any duplicity or bewilderment. You are a pure devotee. You are a perfect devotee. I can understand. You are having such a discrimination and endurance in devotional service and faith on the Lord, even on the battlefield, you are not an ordinary demon. You are not an ordinary person. You attained the position of exalted devotee. You gave up demoniac mentality. Devotees swim in the nectarian ocean while we are happy in ditches. So he compares his position and Vritrasara's position. Okay, their status in the process of devotional service, and he thinks himself insignificant at this point, Indra. Now, Vritrasara threw the iron club with his left hand, because his right hand is cut already. So now Indra cuts it into pieces, and he cuts the second hand of Vritrasara also. So Vritrasara looked like a big, beautiful mountain, right, flying with no wings. And Vritrasara did not have hands to fight. What he had is mouth. He just swallowed Indra along with Airavat, and then he went inside. Otherwise, Indra, because of his Narayan Kavacha, he was protected. Even in the womb of, even within the mouth or womb of Vritrasara. Right? Otherwise, he would not have survived in the digestive system of Vritrasara. He would have been digested. This is how once Radhanand Maharaj said. So Indra would not have survived in the digestive system of Vritrasara. So, just like a python might swallow an elephant, Vritrasara swallowed. Now whom will he fight with? He employed everything. He just swallowed him. He just kept quiet. He just went into meditation, samadhi. So now Indra came out of his body and then started chopping off his head. And it took 1 year for him. So finally, he cut his head and then he came out. But Indra was not at all satisfied by all this. So the living spark from Vritrasara's body came out and entered the spiritual world. So now, Indra was not at all happy. Actually, here Parikshit Maharaj asked a question. Why Indra was not happy? He achieved his goal. He killed Vritrasara. Why he was not happy? And all the demigods, just like when the movie is over, they just, all people will just disperse and go back to their homes, right? Just like when, similarly, when the fight ended, all the demigods, without speaking anything, they just left to their abodes, right? But Indra sat there and then he was lamenting. What did I do? Once I killed Vishwarup, and then somehow trees and a woman and earth, they protected me from sinful reactions by accepting them. So now where will I go? I'll have to suffer this Brahmahatya. He is also Brahman. He is son of Tvashta, who is a Brahman. So he was thinking, he was very morose. So what happened was, Indra was actually not willing to kill Vritrasara. So he was hesitating. Before killing Vritrasara, he was hesitating. So some sages came. And then sages encouraged Indra to kill. Okay, and promised that we will relieve you from sinful reactions by performing Ashwamedha Yajna, right? Holy name will destroy all sins. Okay, what is the big deal? You can just kill him and then we will do whatever other atonement or yajnas are required, we will perform. So they encourage Indra to kill Vritrasara, but Indra had to suffer the sinful reactions. So the personified sinful reaction in the form of a old woman affected by tuberculosis, a chandala woman affected by tuberculosis with so much blood and blood on her clothes and so much fishy odor coming out of her mouth. So she started chasing Indra. So Indra just ran away. And then he ran and entered a lotus stem in Manasarovar. So there he took shelter of that lotus stem for 1,000 years, right? And even fire god also could not enter the water to offer him the share of his yajnas, right? Indra is supposed to accept the share of yajnas, right? But he did not receive them for these 1,000 years because Varuna could not enter. Not because he will be fire god did not enter, not because he will be smashed or whatever. Because of the power of the sinful reaction of Indra, fire god could not enter this place. Then Indra was eventually, after so much of purification, he was relieved of sinful reaction, and then he was reinstated in his position. In the absence of Indra, Nahusha was ruling the kingdom. So the Phalastuti of this is, one will be relieved of all sinful reactions and conquer enemies, and one's life duration will increase by reading this story. Okay, you need break? It's already 12:25. 2 minutes break, okay. We'll take 2 minutes break. Sleeping only. Half of you are sleeping only. Hare Krishna. Okay, 2 minutes. So here in the 14th chapter, Parikshit Maharaj asks a question. How could Vritrasura show such exalted devotional qualities? Qualities even on the battlefield. So there, even great demigods and sages, Amaratmanam, can hardly render pure devotional service. But a demon is doing it. So here he quotes this beautiful verse. There are so many jivas, so many living entities like atoms, and human beings are rare amongst them. And amongst the human beings, so many human beings, those who follow religious principles, karmis, they are very rare. And amongst them also, those who desire for liberation are even rare. And amongst them also, those who are jivan muktas, who are liberated persons, they are very rare. Rarer than them are those who understand the true meaning of liberation, right? Or who attain perfection as sayujya, siddhyati, they are rare. And even more rare than them are narayana parayana. Muktanam api siddhanam narayana parayana. Sudurlabha prashantatma koti shvavi mahamune. So there, Narayana Parayanas are very rare. But Rudrasura is seemingly belonging to this category of Narayana Parayana. So it's very surprising. An infamous sinful demon who is accustomed to troubling others, he is becoming very greatly Krishna conscious, even on battlefield. This is very surprising. And he is satisfying Indra with his Kshatriya prowess. It seems a contradiction. Please explain to me. What is the story behind this devotional attitude of Vritrasura? Now, Sukadeva Goswami appreciates this question. It's an intelligent question. Now, learn the story which I have heard from Vyasa, Narada and Devala. Chitraketu was the king of the province of Surasena. So, he had 1 crore wives. He married one wife, he did not have a child. He married second wife, he did not have a child. He married 10 wives, no child. 20 wives, no child. 1,000 wives, no child. 1 lakh wives, no child. 1 crore marriages, okay, 1 crore ladies he had married. Still, he did not get an offspring. So, Chitraketu had everything. Beautiful form, magnanimity, youth, high birth, complete education, everything he had. But still, he is always anxious because he did not have a son. So he was concerned about the kingdom. Right? After me, who will rule the kingdom? That is why he was concerned. So, at that time, Angira came. Out of his own sweet will, Angira Rishi came there to Chitraketu's palace. And then Chitraketu received him very nicely. And Angira congratulated Chitraketu for his good hospitality. And he says, there are 7 elements that protect a king. Guru, ministers, kingdom, fort, treasury, royal order and friends. So, are you happy? Okay. Then, are your citizens under your control? Is your mind in your control? It seems your mind is not very pleased. So, Angira says, he knows everything, but still he inquired, why you are not very happy? Okay, what was the anxiety in your mind? Now, Chitraketu is responding. He says, you already know everything. I will explain my anxiety to you. So my opulence does not please me because I have no son. Just like hungry man is not pleased by flower garlands or sandalwood pulp, etc. Similarly, my opulence is not pleasing to me because I don't have a son. I want a son to save myself and my forefathers from hell. So please help me if you can to get a son. So Angira performs a sacrifice and he gives the remnants to the first Jeshta and Sreshta wife, Kritadyuti. And then she takes that sweet rice and Angira says, you will get a son who is Harsha Soka Prada, who will cause lamentation and jubilation, both for you. So Angira just gave a hint and Chitraketu understood that, my son may be disobedient. Okay, my son may be more powerful than me. That may cause some lamentation or distress in me. It's okay. Better to have a disobedient son than having no son. So he was okay with it. So eventually Kritadyuti became pregnant and then son was born. And Chitraketu gave profuse charity and had great celebration in the kingdom. And the remaining queens, the co-wives of Kritadyuti, they became envious. Because Chitraketu was giving more affection and time and attention towards Kritadyuti and the son only. He neglected all the other queens. 99,999,999 queens. He neglected them. So all of them, okay, planned for a conspiracy and then they killed the child. Right? So before that, Sukadeva Goswami describes their lamentation. It's the misfortune of a sonless wife. Sonless wife is neglected by husband, dishonored by co-wives. She is more condemned than a maid servant of the husband also. So like that. So they became very envious and then they hated. Okay, they developed feelings of hatred and their intelligence is lost. They became extremely hard-hearted and they administered poison to the son, who is the only child in the kingdom. Okay. So Krutadidhi thought son was sleeping, and then she ordered the maid servant, go and get my son. So the nurse went and then realized that the son was dead, and then she fainted. So seeing her unconscious, the queen came, and then she also saw, then she also realized that he is no more alive. Then she started lamenting, and she condemns the creator. Creator, you are inexperienced. You are like a boy, like a child. You are just making a son die before the father. So this is against your creative laws. So, I condemn you as inexperienced. So she says like that, and you created bonds, and now you are only cutting them. So like that, she criticizes the Lord in many ways. We discussed all of them in great detail earlier. So now she says, why am I gossiping with this Lord? Right? Better focus on my son. Then she says, hey, get up, my son. Don't go with Yamaraj. Okay? Now you should get up and then take milk, and your playmates are waiting. You should go and play with them. You should dissipate our lamentation. Get up. And then finally she concludes that the son is dead. And Chitraketu also came. And Chitraketu started lamenting. Citizens started lamenting. Everyone was lamenting. In that context, Angira came there along with Narada Muni. So what happened after that is described in the 15th chapter. So now, Angira and Narada Muni started instructing Chitraketu. So what is your relationship with this dead body in the past, present and future? So now what was lying there is the dead body of the son, Harshashoka. Right? So now the question, what is your relationship with this dead body? If you are related to this, it's already lying in front, but you are lamenting. Right? So material relationships are temporary, okay, and illusory in nature. That is the lesson. Just like sand particles come together and separated by the force of waves, similarly, living entities come together and are separated by the force of time. Right? Then they say, this artificial relationship of parenthood is ultimately controlled by the Supreme Lord only. So one will become a parent, right, only if the Lord wants him to become a parent. So this parenthood is a temporary relationship and artificial relationship which is under the control of the Supreme Lord. Just like you sow a seed, and the seed may or may not be productive. Sometimes the seed will sprout and then the plant will come up. Sometimes it may not happen also. Everything depends on Lord's will. Right? So everything in the entire cosmos is now in a temporary situation. It has no existence in the past. It has no existence in the future. Just in this current point of time, you may have a certain relationship with it that is very temporary in nature. So an analogy is given, dream. So dream has no existence before sleeping or after getting up. Okay, before sleeping or after waking up, dream has no existence. So similarly, the relationship or the entire cosmos is like a dream, right? That is temporary, which has no existence. Now, the Supreme Lord is like a boy who is playing. It's like a boy plays with this toy and he can do whatever he wants with the toy. So the toy, this, what is this? Lorry? Tractor. Just now it went. So this vehicle, it's just moving like this. It can, this boy can turn a tipsy-turvy also. It can, he can make the vehicle move like this also. Right, not on the wheels, on the back. He can do whatever he wants. Just similarly, the Supreme Lord also is playing with this entire cosmos, creation, maintenance, and destructions. He is not interested in this, but he is doing everything through his dependent agents. Right? Now, material elements and the jiva are eternal. If you are lamenting for this dead body which is lying in front of you, it is nothing but a combination of material elements. Earth, water, fire, air, ether. So earth, water, fire, air, ether, they are permanent. right? This dead body will just merge into these elements, and then they will remain permanent. So you need not lament. Oh, you may say that you are lamenting for the jiva. Jiva is also eternal. So, Hare Krishna. So jiva is also eternal. So material elements and the jivas, both are eternal. And the designations as father or son or mother or daughter, whatever, brother, these are temporary. These are imaginations. Both the material elements and the jiva, both are eternal. But the relationships, when the jiva enters a combination of material elements, which is a material body, and he identifies different people as his relatives and friends, these relations are imaginations, are temporary in nature. But the elements and jiva are eternal. So, Chitraketu realizes, he understands this, and he glorifies Narada Muni and Angira, and he requests for knowledge. So, he glorifies them as Jnana Sampanna, fully dependent on, fully developed in knowledge. Mahishtau cha Mahiyasam, greatest of all great. In various ways, he glorifies them. How Vaishnavas wander for the benefit of materialists, and they give knowledge to the ignorant. Okay, any other verse you remember from Bhagavatam? Janasya Krishna Vimukhasya Devat Adharma Sila Sadhukudasya Anugrahayeha Charantinonam. Right. So this is the meaning of the travelling of Vaishnavas. I am like an ignorant animal, village animal, ignorant, and you ignited the torch of knowledge in me. Like that. So now he surrendered. So Narada Muni and Angira starts enlightening Chitraketu. So I am Angira. Chitraketu reveals. Angira reveals. I am the Angira who gave you the sun, and here is Narada. So you are a devotee. So advanced devotee should not lament for the loss of material things. We came here at the right time only to relieve you. We did not give you, Angira says, I did not give you any transcendental knowledge earlier, because earlier your mind was absorbed in material things. When I met you first time, your mind was absorbed in the thought of having a son. You were lamenting. You were in distress. Later, when I performed the sacrifice, you were in jubilation. Both were material. Material distress, material happiness. Because of that, overwhelmed by those feelings, you could not receive any transcendental knowledge from us. So now, you are ready. So we are also ready to give you. So first he says, all possessions and relations are temporary. Just like Gandharva Nagara, or illusions, or dreams, or mental concoctions. So you may have imagined a great city or a great palace in the air, but that doesn't have existence, right? Just like a castle in the sky or in a dream has no meaning, similarly, your relationship with your family members also has no meaning. Then, because of past actions, one will contact objects that are visible, and mental concoctions will develop, and further actions will proceed. So you will see somebody carrying things like this. You will see somebody carrying things in a different way. So they are all temporary. So these are all results of past actions, and they are leading to future activities. Now, bodily conception and body are source of miseries. So we are spirit souls, encased in a body, engaged in material activities. So we should realize that this body is the source of all miseries, and this bodily conception is the source of all miseries. Try to understand your real position and give up this unnecessary attachment and false pride, false faith, and be peaceful. Right? Now I will give you a mantra. Narada Muni says, you will see the Lord in 7 nights if you take shelter of this mantra. So now, our Chitraketu receives that mantra from Narada Muni. And one more thing is, our this Chitraketu got enlightened, but others are still in distress. So Narada Muni just wanted to give another lesson to all the assembly members, family members. Narada Muni brought the dead son into the vision of all lamenting relatives. So by his yogic power, he made the dead son alive. Or some say that Narada Muni entered the body of dead son and then spoke. Okay. So whatever way, the dead son became alive. And then Narada Muni said, your parents, friends, relatives are in grief because of your passing away. So you should get up now. Okay, because of your untimely death, they are in grief. So you should re-enter the body and enjoy the remaining life with friends, relatives, throne, opulences, etc. So Narada Muni tells the boy like that, Jiva like that. Now, Jiva's response, I am just transmigrating according to my karma. Sometimes I have become horse, sometimes I have become crocodile, sometimes I have become human being. Okay, I am just contacting birth and death and then transmigrating according to my karma. And you are saying that these are my parents? In which birth are these my parents? I had dog birth, cat birth, demigod birth, this birth, that birth. In which birth are these my parents? He questions like that. Next, he says, why don't you see me as an enemy and rejoice my death? It is said that sometimes an enemy becomes the son of this person and then he dies untimely and that's how he will take revenge on this person. Right? Why don't you see me as an enemy and rejoice my death? He asks. Now, no one is permanently related in this material world, despite various transactions. Right? There is no permanent relations. Now, he says that if I am your enemy, how could the king, the boy was an enemy, how could the king have so much affection towards that boy? He says, living entities transmigrate from one body to another body, just like gold is continuously transferred from one hand to another hand through purchase and sale. Right? So, like that's how living entities transmigrate. So, aside from this transmigration business, even in this life also, relationships are impermanent. The boy says, in this material world, relationships induce possessiveness, but the relationship itself and the possessiveness induced by relationship, both are false, both are temporary. For example, in our childhood, we must have studied in some school. We must have had so many friends in our third standard, fourth standard. Now, where are they? Our relationship in that 1 year or 2 years of school life, it's gone. College, we contacted so many people. Gone. I have no touch with all those people. I'm not sure, but if I see their face, I will remember them or not, I don't know. When I went to NVCC, I saw Karuna Nimai Prabhu, who was my classmate. When I was in third standard, he was in fifth standard. We studied in some school in Andhra together. I somehow recognized him. So, like that. But even within this material world also, even within one life also, forgetting the transmigration business aside, even within this one life also, relationships are very temporary. Right? Contact between two living entities is very temporary. So now the Jiva speaks about the eternal living entity who has no material identity. He gets connected to parents through perishable bodies. Qualities of Jiva, he says, qualities of Lord, he explains. So it's a detailed discussion. Now, after the child also spoke, everyone came back to their senses and then it's digestible. The whole event was digestible for all the people. So Chitraketu and relatives cut off the shackles of affection and gave up all lamentation and then did the necessary funeral rites. And then all this transformation happened by the association of devotees, Angira and Narada Muni. And these Kritadyuti's co-wives, they became ashamed. And Chitraketu came out of the dark well of family life. Just like an elephant will come out of the muddy water. Okay. Similarly, Chitraketu came out. That was the analogy given. And King bathed, offered oblations to forefathers and demigods and offered obeisances to Narada and Angira. And Narada and Angira started, Narada Muni specifically, he gave instructions to Chitraketu. So these are various instructions which we recently did in Radhikavalla Prabhu's class. So these instructions contain differences between the Supreme Lord and living entity. And Chitraketu, his devotional service, one of the results of his devotional service was to achieve Vidyadhara planet. and that is secondary result. Primary result was he attained the lotus feet of Lord Sankarshan, Anantadev. And once he attained the darshan, so Sukadeva Goswami describes the beautiful form of Lord Anantadev. And the response of Chitraketu was that he was cleansed of all material contaminations, and then symptoms of ecstasy came in him. Okay, and he offered various prayers to the Supreme Lord. He glorified the power of the Supreme Lord as the creator, maintainer and destroyer, and how he had permanent existence in all three phases of time, past, present and future. Just now we had such elaborate description on how the relationships between living entities are not permanent. They don't have permanent existence in past, present and future. But Lord has permanent existence. And Lord's relationship with the living entity as the master and servant or various rasas, that is also permanent. Right? And he glorifies devotees. Right? And he criticizes non-devotees. Animalistic human beings worship the demigods. If the Supreme Lord avoids repeated birth and death. Oh, if they worship the Supreme Lord, devotees avoid repeated birth and death. Just like fried seeds cannot produce plants, similarly, worshipping the Supreme Lord cannot produce any transmigration. And he glorifies Bhagavad Dharma. Then Lord responds to Chitraketu's prayers by saying, oh, because of following Narada Muni and Angira, you became perfect and you are able to see me. Right, understand, my darshan is a product of your association with my devotees. Lord, in the beginning only he says like that. So Lord also says so many things. Now Chitraketu became the king of Vidyadhara planets, and then he was wandering. One day when he was wandering in his travelings, he saw Lord Shiva sitting in an assembly of great sages with Mother Parvati on his lap, right? So Chitraketu loudly laughed, right? So Chitraketu was wandering in the airplane with Vidyadhara women who were chanting the glories of the Hari, and Chitraketu was enjoying life like that, and suddenly he saw this scene and he laughed. And Chitraketu, before laughing, he appreciated Lord Shiva's exalted position as Loka Guru, Dharmam Vakta, Sharirinam Asti Mukhyaha, Jatadharas Tivratapa, Brahmavadi Sabhapati, Mahavratadharo. In various ways, Chitraketu glorified Lord Shiva, and he merely expressed his wonder. How could Shiva do like this? Even ordinary men also embrace their wives in private, but Mahadev is appreciating, is embracing wife openly in front of so many exalted sages. Other people may misunderstand him. Daksha criticized Lord Shiva out of malice, malicious intentions, out of envy. But Chitraketu never had any envy towards Lord Shiva. So his mood was very proper. His purpose was Shiva should not be misunderstood by others. Okay, by criticizing Shiva, others will become offenders. Okay, that's why I'm pointing this out. So that common men will be saved from misunderstanding, apparent misconduct of Lord Shiva. But Chitraketu also had a slight tinge of pride, right? He thought himself a better controller of senses than Shiva. That's why he just gave some feedback. And he spoke very fearlessly. That is also an indication of pride. Then Mother Parvati became angry, and she said, are you the appointed ruler or punisher, Shasta, Dandadhara, to punish shameless people like us? Others forgot Dharma or what? Brahma, Bhrugu, Narada, all of them are watching this and they forgot Dharma. You are surpassing demigods and giving feedback to my husband. Okay, you don't deserve shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Sankarshan. Right? You become an asura, my dear son. So she said like that. She cursed him. So now Chitraketu comes down and he speaks to Parvati with great humility. I accept the curse, my dear mother. Happiness and distress are given to living entities by demigods as a result of past misdeeds. So I accept this as a result of my past deeds only. I am not blaming you. I am accepting the curse. So actually, Acharyas reveal the Lord's plan for Chitraketu. So Lord is having a fatherly affection towards Chitraketu, and he wanted him to come back to Vaikuntha as early as possible. And he wanted to purify him of that small, slight tinge of pride also. So he inspired Parvati Devi to curse Shiva, Chitraketu. Right? And this is actually to announce the great strength of a devotee who can see hell or heaven or liberation or Swarga, everything equally. So devotee doesn't discriminate between various positions in this material world. Right? He is focused on his devotional service. And Lord also wanted to remove the improper life of Chitraketu as the leader of Vidyadharas. And Lord also wanted to increase the hunger of separation, hunger of prema in the fire of separation, okay, in Chitraketu. And he also wanted to bestow enjoyment of great sweetness of direct service in Vaikuntha. So he is continuing, Chitraketu. He says, Samsara Chakra Etasmin. So this is the Samsara Chakra. So we will contact happiness and distress according to our past deeds. I am not blaming you for the curse you have given me. Right? No one is the cause of happiness or distress. Right? A foolish living entity, ignorant living entity, he thinks that I am the doer or others are the cause of my happiness or distress, but this is not the fact. Okay, that is only illusion. Then Guna Pravaha Yatasmin, Gashaba Konvanugraha. So material world is like a constantly flowing river. Dualities have no eternal effect. Swarga, Naraka, Sukha, Dukha, Shapa, Anugraha, all are same in this material world. So he says that, and material world is like a salt mine. And who is the cause of all this? Supreme Lord. Supreme Lord's external energy creates and maintains and annihilates this material world through various gunas. And this gunas cause happiness or distress or ignorance, okay, in the living entity. It's all Lord's energies only acting in certain way. But Lord is not affected by it, but living entities are affected by it. Right? Then Lord is beyond all dualities. He is equal to everyone. Although he is neutral, he creates dualities for the continuation of material life. He is not affected, others are affected. So why Lord is allowing them to get affected? To continue the materialistic way of life. And why he has to continue the materialistic way of life? That is the desire of living entity. He wants to separately enjoy from the Supreme Lord. Like that. Lord is like a judge, okay, who is neutral. He's like a government, or he's like sun, okay, who is not the cause of the happiness or distress of the bumblebee. Okay? Like that. So he says, whatever you think, Chitraketu is continuing, I never meant anything offensive, but whatever you think was an offense, whatever you think a mistake, let that be a mistake, let that be wrong, and please excuse me for that. Okay, he says that, and I don't want you to withdraw the curse, I'm leaving. So he just left. And Shiva chastises our Parvati. Okay, he says, Chitraketu, devotees are not interested in any kind of material happiness or distress. So your beauty, you are beautiful, you are Susroni, but your beauty is defeated in front of the beauty of devotees. Chitraketu is a wonderful example of Lord's wonderful influence. Hare Radbhuta Karmanaha. Right? By tolerance, by tolerating your curse, he made your curse useless. Right? He addressed you as mother. Right? He did not do anything to retaliate. So he is a great devotee. Devotees never fear heaven or hell or liberation. Sargapavargana Narakeshu Apitulyartha Darshanaha. They are Narayana Para. If one does not surrender to Narayana, he ends up in dualities. Right? So, all the dualities in this material world are no better than a dream. So, Shiva glorifies Lord's devotees like that. And devotionals, how did this kind of disposition appear in the personality of a devotee? Because of their devotional service. Devotional service will give them knowledge and detachment. Right? Those who consider themselves independent controllers, like us, cannot understand the Supreme Lord. So Shiva says, I am also thinking that I am independent controller and I cannot understand the Supreme Lord. But Lord is affectionate to all living entities. And the cause of difference is the treatment. Difference in treatment is Maya. Lord is equally affectionate to all living entities, but the differences come in between because of Maya. Like that. So now finally Lord Shiva clarifies his position and Chitraketu's position. Chitraketu and I both are devotees of the Lord. We are dear to the Lord. And sometimes there are friendly jokes between friends. Okay, you should not be misled by devotees' activities. Right? We are just joking. So Chitraketu says, I am enjoying with women in public. And I also say that you are just externally showing bhakti and you are enjoying with Vidyadhara woman. What is this? It's okay, we are also done. Then Sukadeva Goswami concludes this whole episode. Uma or Parvati, she became a little shameful and then she gave up her astonishment and then she felt a little bad also of cursing an innocent devotee like Chitraketu. So this is whole episode is proving the standard behavior of a Vaishnav, right? Sadhu Lakshanam. Chitraketu never counter-cursed, although he had the ability, but he humbly accepted the curse and offered obeisances to Parvati. So like that, Chitraketu's episode ends there. Now, and because of Mother Parvati's curse, Chitraketu became a demon. Okay, he is Vritrasur. That was the connection there. So now, the descendants of the daughters of Daksha, who are married to Kashyapa, he was, Sukadeva Goswami was describing in the sixth canto, sixth chapter. So from there, so many detours happened, and then he's coming back to that flow. So he speaks about Kashyapa and Aditi, the sons 12 Adityas, their descendants he describes. Then Kashyapa plus Diti, okay, their sons are Hiranyakashyapa and Hiranyaksha, and their descendants he describes. Then Diti also gave birth to 49 Maruts, and all these Maruts, although they are born of Diti, they are supposed to be having Asuri Lakshanam, still they are accepted as demigods. Yesterday only we discussed this. So Parikshit Maharaj questions about this. How can they be accepted as demigods? Right. So because of killing Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, her sons, Diti became very envious of Indra, and she wanted to kill Indra. She wanted a son to kill Indra. So Diti served her husband very honestly, honestly in the sense, very faithfully, right, meticulously, and pleased him. Then our Kashyapa was pleased and said, you ask whatever you want. I will want to fulfill your desires. So Kashyapa was captivated by Diti. And Diti, Kashyapa says, if a husband is pleased, who is a representative of God, Vasudeva, if he is pleased, nothing is obtainable, unobtainable for a wife. So you should ask. Diti asks, I lost my two sons. I want a son who can kill Indra. Right? So Diti says, then our Kashyapa thinks, I am unnecessarily captivated by this lady. And this is Maya. Right, because this is not her mistake, okay, it is my uncontrolled senses. You have written this in your exam now today. Because of my uncontrolled senses, I became victimized by Maya. So, and there are some very heavy statements that he uses, that the ladies can even kill their own brother for fulfilling their selfish purposes. So like that, and still our Kashyap Muni wanted to give devotional service to Diti. And he never wanted, he was in a dilemma. I should fulfill my promise and I should not kill Indra also. I should protect Indra also. And his idea was to engage her in devotional service so that her intentions are purified. So Kashyap Muni tells Diti, you should perform a vrata, Pumsavana vrata, for one full year. Right. If you do this vrata very nicely, very perfectly, then you will get a son who can kill Indra. But if there are any deviations in this vrata, you will get a son who will follow Indra, who is a follower of Indra, who will be favorable to the demigods. Then Diti accepts that vrata. She hears all the rules and regulations of that vrata, and Kashyap Muni teaches her all the rules and regulations. Diti follows that. And Indra comes to assist Diti in following of that vrata. His intention was to find any fault, find any discrepancies in her execution of vrata so that he can kill the child. So one day, Diti, although she was sincerely following, she fell asleep, right, without washing her mouth, right? So that was some uncleanliness against the standards of the Vrata. So Indra took that opportunity, entered her womb, and killed the and chopped the embryo into 7 pieces. But 7 maruts came up, and then he said, "Don't cry," okay, kind of pacifying them, and then he killed them again. He chopped them into 7 pieces each again. Then 49 kids came, and all of them said, "We are all your brothers, right? We are all your followers. So why are you killing us?" Then meanwhile, Diti woke up, and then she saw 49 children there. "I wanted one son. There are 49 children here. What's happening here?" "Indra, actually I did this vow only to kill you, okay? But I see 49 children here. I want to know. Please, without speaking lies, you tell me the truth." Then Indra says, "No, I am not speaking lies. I also had a bad intention to spoil your Vrata and kill your child. But this is what has happened, 49 children. So this is all effect of your devotional service. So now I accept all of them as my brothers. I give them the position of demigods. Let them come with me." And then Indra leaves. And Sukadeva Goswami glorifies the process of devotional service. Now in the 19th chapter ending, Sukadeva Goswami, Parikshit Maharaj asks, "I understand that, give me the book. I understand that this is a beautiful Vrata, that Pumsavana Vrata, which could purify the intentions of Indra and Diti, right? I understand this is a glorious Vrata. You already mentioned about the do's and don'ts of this Vrata, but I want to know more details." So that's where we ended. Now we'll take a few more minutes and then complete the chapter. Summary. So overview of the chapter. So in the first verse, Parikshit Maharaj asks, "I want to know the details of this Vrata, Pumsavana Vow." Now, Sukadeva Goswami explains. On the first day of the bright fortnight of the month of November-December, following the instructions of her husband, a woman should begin this regulative devotional service with a vow of penance, for it can fulfill all one's desires. Before beginning the worship of Lord Vishnu, the woman should hear the story of how the Maruts were born. So under the instructions of qualified Brahmanas, in the morning she should wash her teeth, bathe, and dress herself with white cloth and ornaments. And before taking breakfast, she should worship Vishnu and Lakshmi. Okay, before taking breakfast. Then she should then pray to the Lord as follows. So mainly this is all about some rules and regulations of the Vrata. But there are very beautiful prayers. Alamte nirapekshaya purnakama namostute mahavibhuti pataye namah sakala siddhaye. So this is a glorification of Lord Vishnu. Right? Alamte nirapekshaya. Lord is indifferent. Purnakama. All his desires are fulfilled. Okay, then Mahavibhuti Pataye. He is the husband of Mother Lakshmi. Okay, Mahavibhuti Pataye means husband of Lakshmi. So I am offering obeisances. You are Sakala Siddhaye unto the master of all mystic perfections. So this is one prayer to the Lord, which the person who is following this Pumsavana Vow is supposed to recite. Right? This is one of the prayers. Then one more prayer. Yathatvam kripaya bhutya tejasa mahimaujasa jushta isha gunai sarvais tatosi bhagavan prabhu. So yathatvam kripaya bhutya, Lord is endowed with full mercy. Tejasa mahimaujasa, he has lot of prowess, mahima, glory, ojasa, strength, right? Jushta Isha Gunais Sarvais. Lord is endowed with all transcendental qualities. Okay, Gunais. Then Tatosi Bhagavan Prabhu. So that is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is my Prabhu, master of everyone. So this purport is very beautiful. So Lord is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and is the master of everyone. He is endowed with all opulences, 6 opulences. Right? He nonetheless wants, although he is endowed with all opulences. One more word comes, I think in the previous verse. Purna Kama. Fourth verse, second line, you see. Purna Kama Namostute. So Lord is endowed with all opulences. He is Sakshat Mahabhuta Mahavibhuti Pati, husband of Goddess of Fortune. And he is Purna Kama. All his desires are automatically fulfilled. He doesn't need anything beyond himself for the fulfillment of his desires. Still, he depends on his devotees. That is the theme that Prabhupada brings out in this beautiful purport. Although he is full in himself, he nonetheless wants all the living entities to surrender unto him and that they may engage in his service. He is not in need of manpower, okay, for the, you know, so much work in spiritual world. Right, to maintain a place, one needs a lot of manpower. So to maintain spiritual world, Lord doesn't need manpower of all our living entities. He is Purna Kama and he doesn't have any specific desires that are unfulfilled. All his desires are automatically fulfilled. Atmaram, Aptakam, Purna Kam. But still he wants all of us for our benefit. He wants us to engage in his service, which means he has no selfish intentions to take some service from us. He is desiring that we engage in his service only for our welfare. No other reason. Although he is full in himself, he nonetheless becomes pleased with his devotee. And what kind of service he is expecting? Not big, big services. Patram pushpam phalam toyam. Okay, in this series, Prabhupada quotes this verse a couple of times. Patram pushpam phalam toyam. Sufficient. He just offers this service. So sometimes the Lord, as a child of Mother Yashoda, requests his devotee for some food, as if he were hungry. So while accepting service from his devotees, from the living entities, Lord is reciprocating, okay, a mellow, a rasa with that devotee. And Lord wants to experience that pleasure that is coming from devotee's love. And Lord wants to give the devotee that pleasure of serving the Lord. So this is the ultimate relationship between the living entity and the Supreme Lord. Right? This is the eternal relation. So Lord wants everyone to be in that eternal relation. That is the intention of Lord's reclaiming all the conditioned souls. Otherwise, let them do whatever they want. He may feel like that. But that is not the way. Okay, now one more thing. With Yashoda, he may request some food. But one more purpose is, sometimes Lord is buried in some earth, DT, Madhavendra Puri. Lord wants his devotee to just wake him up and then offer so many services, build a temple for him. He can build a temple for himself, but he wants his devotee to serve him. And sometimes Lord wants his devotee to preach the glories of Krishna consciousness. So these are various services that the Lord wants from his devotees to make the devotee happy and to be happy himself. And although he is Purna Kama, like that. Okay, now Mahaprabhu is quite competent to spread his name and mission all over the world, but still he depends upon his devotee to do this work. Prabhupada. No? This is fifth purport. I discussed fifth purport so far. Sixth verse. Now obeisances to Mother Lakshmi. Vishnupatni Mahamaye Mahapurusha Lakshane Priyethame Mahabhage Lokamatar Namostute. So Vishnupatni, Lord, Mother Lakshmi is the wife of Lord Vishnu. Mahamaya, the energy of the Supreme Lord, is not the external energy. Maya is energy. So, Mahapurusha Lakshane, she possesses all the qualities and opulences of Lord Vishnu. Then, Priyeta me Mahabhaga, Mahabhage. Priyeta, kindly be pleased upon me, Mahabhage, Goddess of Fortune. So, there is prayer offered not only to the Lord, but Lord's consort also, Lord's energy also. Even in this South Indian chant also. Tavasuprabhata maravindalochane bhavatu prasanna mukhachandra mandale vidhishankarendra vanitabhirarchite rushasailanatha daite dayanidhi. So, there Mother Lakshmi is glorified. Good morning not only to Balaji, good morning to Mother Lakshmi also. That's how, if we translate Sanskrit into English, that's how it sounds. Good morning. Tava suprabhatam. Suprabhatam, where is suprabhatam? Where is good morning? Tava suprabhatam aravindalochini, O lotus-eyed goddess. Tavasu prasanna mukhachandra mandali. Your face is very mukhachandra mandala. Just like the moon, chandra mandala is very cool. Your face is also very peaceful and cool. Right? Vidhi Shankarendra Vanitabhirarchite Vidhi Brahma Shankara Shiva Indra Vidhi Shankarendra Vanitabhirarchite. Their Vanitas means their wives, Parvati, Saraswati and Sachi. Archite, they do archan of you. Okay, just like all the demigods offer obeisances and worship the Supreme Lord, similarly, Lord's consort is worshipped by the wives of all those demigods. Vrishasaila Nathayate Dayanidhe. So you just be merciful to us, like that, Dayanidhe. Lokamadara Namaste, she is the Mata, the mother of entire universe. So Prabhupada speaks about Lord's potencies, Mahamaya. Then seventh verse, this is a nice verse that Prabhupada himself recommends that anyone engaged in deity worship should chant this mantra. That is the seventh prose verse. Om Namo Bhagavate Mahapurushaya Mahanubhavaya Mahavibhuti Pataye Saha Mahavibhuti Mir Balim Upabrahmiti. That one sentence ends. Anena Ahar Ahar Mantrena Vishnor Ava Avahanargya Padyopasarpanasnana Vasa Upavita Vibhushana Gandha Pushpa Dhupa Deepodhar Deepopaharadi Upacharyan Susama Susamahitopaharet. So Lord Vishnu, full in six opulences, you are the best of all enjoyers and the most powerful. O husband of Mother Lakshmi, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. You are accompanied by many associates such as Vishwakshena. I offer all the paraphernalia for worshipping you. One should chant this mantra every day with great attention while worshipping Lord Vishnu with all paraphernalia such as water for washing his feet. So Arghya, Padya, Madhuparka, all that we offer, right? So Prabhupada is saying one should chant this mantra. Then Sukadeva Goswami is continuing. After worshipping the Lord with all the paraphernalia mentioned above, one should chant the following mantra while offering 12 oblations of ghee on the sacred fire. Om Namo Bhagavate Mahapurushaya Mahavibhuti Pataye Swaha. Okay, now from here onwards all the other rituals will begin. If one desires all opulences, his duty is to daily worship Vishnu and Lakshmi. Prabhupada comments on this statement, saying that you cannot worship only Vishnu, only Lakshmi. Right? Only Lakshmi. You see in South India, whichever shop you go, there is Lakshmi Devi sitting and some elephants are pouring some coins. From her hand, so many coins are coming. So many topes are, golden topes are filled with golden coins. Right? So that is not very much recommended. Worshipping only Lakshmi without worshipping Narayana is not recommended. Okay. And Mother Goddess Lakshmi herself says, where? In the fifth canto, prayers to Kamadeva. She says, I will not bestow opulences to people who neglect you and just worship me. I have so much fan following, but I am not favorable to my fans. I am favorable to you. If you ask me to give them opulence, I will give them opulence. If you ask me to keep them beggars, I will keep them beggars. Okay. With great attention, with great devotion, one should worship him according to the above mentioned purposes. Lord Vishnu and the Goddess of Fortune are an immensely powerful combination. They are the bestowers of all benedictions and the sources of all good fortune. Therefore, the duty of everyone is to worship Lakshmi Narayana, not only Lakshmi. Ravana wanted only Sita, not Ram. Okay, Shishupal wanted only Rukmini, not Krishna. So what happened to them is a lesson to everyone. One should offer obeisances unto the Lord with a mind humbled through devotion. While offering dandavats, by falling on the ground like a rod, one should chant the above mantra 10 times. Then one should chant the following prayer. My Lord Vishnu and Mother Lakshmi, Goddess of Fortune, you are the proprietors of the entire creation. Indeed, you are the cause of the creation. Mother Lakshmi is extremely difficult to understand because she is so powerful that the jurisdiction of her power is difficult to overcome. Mother Lakshmi is represented in the material world as external energy. But actually, she is the internal energy of the Lord. My Lord, you are the master of energy, and therefore, you are the supreme person. You are the sacrifice personified. Lakshmi, the embodiment of spiritual activities, is the original form of worship offered unto you, whereas you are the enjoyer of all sacrifices. Gunavyaktir iyam devi vyanjako gunabhuk bhavan tvam hi sarva sarityatma sri sarirendriyashraya namarupe bhagavati pratyayastvam apashraya. Mother Lakshmi, who is there in the, who is here, is the reservoir of all spiritual qualities, whereas you manifest and enjoy all these qualities. Indeed, you are actually the enjoyer of everything. You live as the super soul of all living entities, and the goddess of fortune is the form of their bodies. So Purusha Prakriti description is given. Senses and minds. She also has a holy name and form, whereas you are the support of all such names and forms and the cause of their manifestation. So Prabhupada speaks about the Tattvavadis, right? In the purport, Vishnu is described as Yajna personified, and Mother Lakshmi is described as spiritual activities and the original form of worship. Now, Madhvacharya says this, Yajna Krit Yajna Bhuk Yajna, Manna Manna Adiya Vacha. Vishnu Sahasranam says, Lord is the sacrifice, Yajna Krit Yajna Bhuk. He is the performer of the sacrifice, he is the enjoyer of the sacrifice also. 14th verse. You are both the supreme rulers and benedictors of the three worlds. Therefore, my Lord, Uttama Shloka may be ambitious. May my ambitions be fulfilled by your grace. So like that, one should worship by offering prayers to Lakshmi and Narayana. So thereafter, with great devotion and humility, one should offer prayers to the Lord and Mother Lakshmi. Then one should smell the remnants of the food offered and then again worship the Lord and Lakshmi. So accepting her husband as a representative of the Supreme Person, a wife should worship him with unalloyed devotion by offering him prasad. So both wife and husband need not do this vrata. Any one of them can do the vrata and both of them can get the result. If wife does the vrata, she should offer the remnants to husband. She should see her as representative of God like that. Then one should accept this Vishnu Tattva, Vishnu Vrata, which is the vow in devotional service, and should not deviate from its execution to engage in anything else. By offering the remnants of prasada, flower garlands, sandalwood pulp and ornaments, one should daily worship the brahmanas and worship women who peacefully live with their husbands and children. Every day the wife must continue following the regulative principles to worship Lord Vishnu with great devotion. Thereafter Lord Vishnu should be laid in his bed and then one should take prasad. In this way husband and wife will be purified and will have all their desires fulfilled. So one should do this vrata in Kartik month. On the morning of the next day, one should wash oneself and other things. Sweet rice should be cooked with ghee. And with this preparation, the husband should offer oblations to the fire 12 times. And other rules are given. And at the same time, who observes this vrata? If unmarried girl subjects with Vrata, she will get a good husband. So like that. The different results bestowed upon different people, different categories of people who may do this Vrata are given in the last verse. Right? So what Mahaprabhu gives in Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is holy name, is a more updated version than what Sukadeva Goswami gives in Bhagavatam. So many such Vratas are described. If you see Uddhava Gita in 11th canto, there also so many rules and regulations are mentioned. Brahmachari should do this, Sannyasi should do this, Vanaprastha should do this. So many rules and regulations. But Mahaprabhu comes 4,500 years after Sukadeva Goswami spoke this, 4,500 years after that, Mahaprabhu comes and gives a more updated version of how to perform devotional service. If you see Chaitanya Charitamrita, there are so many instructions on chanting, okay, how to organize for yatras, how the dealings between devotees should be. So many other things which a sadhaka can relate to more, okay, a practitioner of bhakti yoga in ISKCON can relate to the incidents described in Chaitanya Charitamrita more than in which are given in Bhagavatam, right? So Pumsavana Vrata is very glorious Vrata, but for us the Vrata is chanting 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Mahamantra daily and following 4 regulative principles. Sufficient. Pumsavana, 1 year, you just do this. Then there is another Payovrata sacrifice. Payovrata is taking only milk for 1 year. Right? I did that Vrata for around 8-9 months. that is the recommendation by doctor. So, yeah, but what is more relevant for us is chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Thank you all very much for your patience. I went over time, more than 40 minutes over time. Thank you all very much. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai. Today only I will give you the question paper for the grand test on 6th canto. So Tuesday evening we will have grand test on 6th canto. Today is Today is Thursday. So today and tomorrow you can spend time in writing the open book exam. Then I'll give the grand test paper. So Tuesday evening is the grand test, 3 to 6 or 3 to 5, whatever time you may need. So Monday preparation. Between Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, you prepare for your grand test and you complete your open book. How you will manage, you decide. So, open book discussion, when should we have? Tomorrow morning? Today evening? How many are for today evening? Today evening is 1 hour we can discuss. Okay, many hands are raising. Achyut Nityananda Prabhu, are you hearing? Okay. Today evening? Tomorrow morning. How many are saying tomorrow morning? Ek hath. Only 4 are there. 4 hands are raising. Other hands are raising. Democracy. So we should have today evening only. Today evening we'll have. Tomorrow whole day you can do whatever. Huh? At what time? Padmukhne Maya Prabhu. What time? 5 o'clock. 5 to 6? 5 to 6? Where? That also you only decide. Ranagiri is so hot. 5 o'clock may be little okay. Not in ashram. Temple hall or? After lunch, you heard it already 3 hours. Can you again hear? 1 hour more. You have to speak. You don't have to hear anything. Immediately after lunch? After lunch. Only one hand. Okay, evening 5 to 6. Remaining hands, I can assume. Evening 5 to 6 we can have. 4:30 we can start. Evening 4:30, we'll meet in temple hall. New temple hall. Okay? Thank you. Get your question papers. This is his, I think. This Abhijit Prabhu
in mic. I have a question. Mind. Question is there?